Nigel Farage, Kenny Badenoch versus the people of Northern Ireland, Russia versus the Western elites, Reform versus Keir Starmer, and permafrost life forms versus the whole human race. Oh, it's a mixed up, muddled up, shook up world, all right. And it will all become clearer with me, Nick Abbott, after the new news at 10 on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock. President Trump has announced Israel has agreed to a withdrawal line for its forces in Gaza, and a ceasefire will come into immediate effect once Hamas consents to it. Writing online, Donald Trump also says an end to the fighting will then trigger an exchange of Israeli hostages and Palestinian prisoners. Israel's prime minister says Hamas has been forced to agree to parts of a peace plan by his country's military action. The former Middle East advisor at the Ministry of Defence, Lieutenant General Sir Simon Mayle, has been telling LBC, a major change will be needed in regional thinking.
This is a really crunch time for hopefully putting at least the Middle East on the brink of something new. But Hamas must go. And I'm afraid the idiots who keep supporting Hamas and are not prepared to draw a distinction between the Palestinian cause and the murderous intent of Hamas are doing the Palestinians no favours.
Nearly 450 people have been arrested during protests in London supporting the banned group Palestine Action. Its organisers had been asked to cancel the event following Thursday's synagogue attack in Manchester. The former Deputy Foreign Secretary and Conservative MP for Sutton Coldfield, Sir Andrew Mitchell, has been telling LBC the timing was badly wrong.
It is the right of people in Britain to demonstrate peacefully and within the law. But I think on almost every objective judgment that now is not the time to demonstrate.
One person's been killed and more than 30 injured after Russian drones struck a railway station in Ukraine. President Zelensky has described the attack on Shostka in the Sumy region as savage. Around 34,000 homes have spent the day without power after being hit by Storm Amy. It also caused widespread travel disruption with winds of around 100 miles per hour being recorded in the north of Britain and Northern Ireland. The travel expert Simon Calder has been telling LBC passengers across the UK have been suffering.
We've seen huge numbers of cancellations in and out of Belfast City Airport. Glasgow has been pretty awful today, so has Edinburgh. British Airways today alone has cancelled 30 flights in and out of London Heathrow. Most of those have been going to the northwestern parts of the UK.
And in sport and in football this evening, Arsenal will go into the international break as the Premier League leaders. They've beaten West Ham 2-0. Liverpool are second after losing to Chelsea. Tottenham beat Leeds 2-1, while Man United drew 2-2 with Sunderland. LBC weather continuing wet and very windy with gales in the far northeast of the UK overnight. Breezy elsewhere with clear spells for many areas. We'll see a low in some districts of around 9 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
You're joking.
Well, let's get back to it.
Schools closed early, ferry sailings were cancelled, and amber weather warnings were in place as Storm Amy swept into the UK from the Atlantic with the threat of 100-mile-an-hour winds, or, as confidently stated on the Mail Online, 1,000-mile-an-hour winds. They actually printed that as a headline.
Oh, no.
1,000-mile-an-hour winds, they said. The north and west of Scotland were the worst hit, and specifically the northwest of Scotland, I bet. They're probably still being affected now. Checking for you or while you wait. Your call is not important to us. You are being held in a queue. We will hang up on you after you've been waiting for an hour because that is funny to us. Please hold. Aha! It's not raining at the moment. Can you believe that?
No.
This is in Glasgow. It will, however, be raining tomorrow and raining on Monday and raining on Tuesday and... Not raining on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I don't believe it. There's something wrong with my app. You're going to get almost 2 weeks of sunny weather. Can you believe that?
No.
Good grief. We'll see. We'll see. People living in parts of the Highlands and the Western Isles were warned of danger to life from flying debris and of potential power cuts and road closures and damage to buildings, and winds reached 100 mile an hour in some exposed parts, and I sincerely hope your parts were not exposed.
Disgusting.
Ferry sailings between Scotland and Northern Ireland and a number of Scottish islands were cancelled. The RNLI appealed to people to exercise extreme caution, particularly along exposed cliffs and seafronts and piers and waterside paths. Of course, this advice does not apply to people who want to sit right on the edge of a crumbling cliff or stand at the end of a pier to get a selfie. You people are special, and nothing bad will ever happen to you. The storm led to a number of event cancellations, including but not limited to Friday evening's United Rugby Championship match between Embra and Ulster at Hive Stadium. But as it was rugby, nobody minded much.
Boring!
In Southend-on-Sea, Saturday's Apple Day at St Lawrence Orchard was cancelled. The Met Office warned of difficult driving conditions over the weekend and advised that if you must set out on the roads, that you take the precaution of driving really fast through areas of low visibility and right on the tail of the car in front, while flashing your lights and sounding your horn if they go less than 40 in a 20 zone. Of course, if you're in a Vauxhall hatchback, you will already be doing this.
Thank you.
Would you like to hear the long-range forecast for the next 4 weeks?
No.
OK, the first half of October. Mostly mild. Mostly. Rain or drizzle at times, those are your choices. Select. Mostly affecting you-know-where, light winds and fog overnight. And then, last 2 weeks of October. Blimey. Last 2 weeks of October already. It's practically time for right-wingers to tell us that we are no longer free to say Happy Christmas anymore. On Jesus' birthday! The latter half of October will be unsettled with frequent spells of rain, temperatures probably close to average. But I suppose we're going to have to take it.
Oh, fabulous.
Okay, this is Megan, your weekly Megan update. Ready? These are headlines on the same news website on the same day. My war with Harry and Meghan. What really happened, their absurd accusations, the brutal truth about post-royal life and how, I believe, their royal racism lies helped kill off woke. could it possibly get any better than that?
No.
I'll try. Another sign, Meghan can't let go of royal life. Duchess shows off flowers arranged with Queen Anne's lace just days after wearing a Queen ring. Inside Meghan's long-running dilemma between her status as a celebrity royal or royal celebrity, and the crucial moment she made the decisive and deadly pivot to the meretricious side of the equation. How Meghan Markle's father described her love life before she met Prince Harry, according to royal author. Prince Harry denies giving King photograph of Meghan during meeting. How Meghan crafted her public persona after Princess Diana, even before she married Harry. Meghan Markle's indestructible perma-smile next to a dissolved Prince Harry was a last-ditch attempt at proving herself. But on the other hand, Queen of Stilettos, Kate, leaves royal fans in awe as she effortlessly climbs down aircraft boarding stairs backwards in heels. Isn't she an absolute dream? Here is a caller, a very suspiciously keen caller in Sweden called Patrick. Patrick.
Yeah, hi, Nick. Yeah, I'm calling you suspiciously early again because it's my bedtime.
Is it?
It is, yes. I'm afraid so. Do Swedish people
go to bed particularly early? I mean, is there anything to do in Sweden after dark apart from fumble about with Swedish people?
There are some things you can do. Fumbling about, I guess, is probably pretty popular.
Right.
But it's after 11 here, so, you know.
Ah, yes. Okay, you're an hour ahead. Well, what's the world like in the next hour? Is it improved any?
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention really.
Not paying attention. I understand. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I got a couple of three things the way people do. Firstly, I thought you might like to know that I'm calling you with from a landline.
A landline. That's why you're coming through clear as
yeah.
a bell.
That might be it. And I have a clarification regarding something I said last week when I phoned you.
Mm. If only yeah. I had been paying attention,
well,
then
exactly.
this might
well,
mean
I can remind
something
you.
To me. Yeah.
Yeah. I can remind you that you asked me, and it threw me a little bit, what Swedish people eat for breakfast.
Oh, yes. And you told me many and various disgusting things about herring.
Well, I told you a couple of things. And one of the things I said was, I said pickled fish.
Ugh.
Yeah, exactly. And later that evening, I was listening back, because obviously I went to bed, but I listened to the podcast, obviously. And one of my favourite callers, Andrew from Cumbernauld, phoned. And he wondered whether I was talking about something called surströmming, which is a kind of fermented fish.
Oh, gets worse.
It gets worse. And that wasn't what I meant. When I said pickled fish, I was talking about the kind of pickled herring that
yeah,
you get.
Like roll mops.
Yeah, and apparently you said you went to a hotel in Copenhagen and they had it there.
Disgusting. Awful.
Yeah, well, I think so too, yeah. But the fermented herring, which I can tell you more about if you
No, that's okay.
It's worse.
I have onboarded enough information to last me the rest of my life about fermented fish.
Well, that's fair enough. But what I was interested in what I was thinking about was how this is a delicacy.
Are you still going on about fermented fish?
Well, I am, but I've moved on.
It doesn't sound like it.
Well, I've moved on to the idea of, like, delicacies in general.
Oh, okay. Well, move faster.
Well, okay, fair enough. Well, I was just that, you know, you've probably noticed that what people call delicacies in different parts of the world are often sort of weird or disgusting.
Yeah, revolting.
Or some kind of pointless.
Yeah, it's, if you look it up in the dictionary, it's another word for revolting.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like tripe and kidneys and brain and all of that stuff.
Yeah, or, you know, I don't know, bird's nest soup or something, or shark's
yeah,
fin. Or
right.
Whatever, yeah. And I find it interesting the way, you know, I find it an interesting example of human behaviour and culture that we sort of do these things with food that's, you know, we don't really need to eat it probably. It's not to say even very good for us, but we sort of turn it into something culturally important. And
well, I would imagine that it started out as cheap food that people were forced to eat, and they subsequently got a taste for it.
Yeah, and sort of turned it into a virtue almost, and
yeah.
like a cultural identifier. And
right.
Yeah. Well, I find it interesting anyway, and I was just wondering if you...
If I also found it interesting. Well, let me think about that.
No.
Not really, no.
Fair enough.
Oh, that's it?
Well, it can be, yeah.
Well, that's an excellent choice there, Patrick. If it can be, then it is. Good work, that man. Paul in Shoreham says, was a Trump coin on your bingo card? Yes, it was. Yes, it was. I'll come to that in a minute. He says, it looks like there's going to be one soon. Not talking about a privately minted commemorative coin or crypto nonsense here. It's going to be genuine US currency that you'll be able to spend in a store. Alex says, Pete Kegsbreath has ordered the US military to return to the highest male the highest male standard. But has anyone told Trump? Not only would this rule out his cousin-loving Trumpanzees and the Gravy Seals, it also rules out the Leaning Tower of Gut himself, despite how good he thinks he looks in shorts. Yeah, this is Donald Trump looking in the mirror in his swimming cozy.
He thinks he looks good in a bathing suit, he doesn't.
Yeah, believe the mirror on the wall, Donnie. You are not the fairest of them all. Yeah, should we start with Pete Kegsbreath? Because a couple of the one of the few remaining boxes in my Trump bingo card got ticked this week. Did you hear? I'll come to that in a minute. So much stuff to get through. Already the piles are calling up. How do these people get my number? 0345-6060-973, LBC.
This is LBC.
Ah, the familiar sounds of autumn. Time for woolly jumpers, spiced lattes and the crunch of leaves underfoot. But at Southeastern, we know those same leaves can make train journeys tricky. When compressed under train wheels, they can create a slippery surface just like black ice. That's why we're clearing the way with special leaf-busting trains, so you can travel safely, whatever the weather. Find out more at southeasternrailway.co.uk/autumn.
Southeastern. Ooh. At Lidl, we speak ghost. This one's saying you can get 20% off a monstrous range of Halloween costumes with Lidl Plus. Get sorted before they vanish. Lidl, more to value. 18 plus GB only while stocks last. Offer ends 15th of October. Terms apply. See lidl.co.uk/LPTV.
For stunning retirement apartments to buy or rent, search McCarthy Stone or call 0800 153 3055.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Thank you for holding. Your call is important to us.
Yes, John in Somerset, your call is important to us. You might not believe that, but, well, we'll find out, won't we? Yes, sir.
I believe everything that you say.
Yeah.
Well, mostly.
Mostly.
Yeah. And are you ready to jump the shark this evening?
Well, it depends. In what manner?
Are you familiar with it? With
yeah, Happy Days.
Happy Days! Yay! Mm-hmm. And funnily enough, I was talking to somebody about this earlier, and you know when memories just pop back into your head about things you watched when you were younger?
Hmm. Yeah, the Soup Dragon. Like that.
I might need to break after that.
The Clangers. Don't you remember the Clangers? No, of course not.
Of course.
No.
I do remember the Clangers.
Right.
The Soup Dragon.
The Soup Dragon,
But then you just did that.
Why did a dragon eat soup? What's that about? Dragons don't eat soup. Any fool know that.
I don't know. I mean, I've got David Bowie on in the background now. I'm going to have to literally turn him down.
I have been listening to nothing but David Bowie. I've discovered those box sets. Apparently there's six of them. I'm never going to get through them. But the live albums that have come with the most recent one that's just come out, I can't give everything away. It's just marvellous. Can't stop listening to them. I've tried listening to other things in the meantime, but I keep turning them off and putting Bowie back on.
Well, he is, amazing. One of my favourite stories about him comes from Ricky Gervais. I know Ricky Gervais is a little bit tiresome sometimes.
Okay.
Who am I to argue with his eight BAFTAs, eh?
Right.
But one time he said, I thought I'd bring up David Bowie because he wanted to get him to do, to be on the Extras programme.
Yeah.
That series. So how he got hold of David Bowie's number, I mean, you don't get it out of directory inquiries, do you?
No, you probably don't. Yeah, curious.
But somehow he got hold of David Bowie's number, and he said, I rang up David Bowie, and David Bowie answered the phone from Switzerland or wherever he was.
Mm.
And Ricky Gervais said to him, hello, David. And David went, hello, mate. What are you up to? And Ricky Gervais said, well, I'm just ringing you up. What are you up to? And David, meaning, are you doing some great work or whatever? And David Bowie said, I've just been eating a banana.
What, as an art piece? he bought that million-pound banana that some bloke sellotaped to the wall in Florida, and he ate it as an art piece. Can you believe that?
It was the future of multimedia. He was blowing everyone's mind by eating a banana.
Yeah.
So I love Bowie, as we both know. But how can I get back to Happy Days after talking about Bowie?
I don't know. Why would you want to talk about Happy Days?
Because of a poster when I was a kid, and it was advertising Happy Days, and it said, "Fondue's cut, but our chicken isn't."
Right. Okay.
Because remember they had that diner, where they...
Yeah.
So anyway.
All American life revolves around a diner in the 1950s, yeah.
So they were literally advertising their chicken.
I like the start of it, where they put the clips of each character to show you the nature of the character as the theme tune plays. And Fonzie's character, he goes to a mirror to do his hair. He's got a comb in his hand, and then realizes it's perfect anyway and doesn't touch it, which is him all over. Apparently he did that in when he went for the part. That's the thing he did that got him the job.
I reckon that's what you do when you're putting your when you're putting your pajamas on.
Well, I always have to check my hair in the mirror to make sure I've got enough product on.
You don't need to put all of that product in your hair. You just don't.
You just don't, but I do anyway. All right, that's it, John. Thanks a lot, mate. 0345 6060973. I just felt that was just going nowhere. Never mind. That's this show all over. Alex texts, Pete Keg's breath ordered the US military to return to the highest male standard. I know I've read this already, but this is a setup to the story I'm about to read. He said, but has anyone told Trump? Pete Keg's breath. That was Keg's breath and Trumpolini, who were standing on stage with, more makeup than Dolly Parton, telling a room full of fierce-looking generals how to be manly. I'm amazed they didn't get more to dance to YMCA at the end, or in the Navy might have been more appropriate. You can sail the seven seas in the Navy. Come on, get up and dance. A room full of the most aggressive-looking people you've ever seen in your life. They had more gongs on their chests than a Japanese orchestra. And there's these two doughy sacks on stage telling them how to be real fighting men. Comical. Trump and Keg's breath are lucky to get out of there alive. But anyway, this is on Twitter. Keg's breath. Bro, he's the head of the Department for War. But when was the last time America actually won a war, by the way? Anybody remember? You know, without help. This is Pete Keg's breath on Twitter. Earlier this morning, on President Trump's orders, I directed... I'm not sure that's a get-out-of-jail-free card. I was just following orders. He says, I directed a lethal kinetic strike on a narco-trafficking vessel affiliated with designated terrorist organizations in the U.S. South area of responsibility. And so far, so like he's talking about him playing a video game. He says, hang on. He says, four male narco-terrorists... Hang on. God, what is that? A little frog in the throat. He says, four male narco-terrorists aboard the vessel were killed in the strike and no US forces were harmed in the operation. Yeah, that's because they fired a missile at them from about 3 miles away. He says, the strike was conducted in international waters just off the coast of Venezuela while the vessel was transporting substantial amounts of narcotics headed to America to poison our people. Our intelligence without a doubt confirmed that this vessel was trafficking narcotics. The people on board were narco-terrorists, and they were operating on a known narco-trafficking transit route. These strikes will continue until the attacks on the American people are over. 4! Complete with what is in effect a snuff video. We've become immune to this kind of stuff. I mean, actual newspaper websites start playing snuff videos before you've even clicked on the story. You're just scrolling down the page, and this is the moment that somebody died in a car crash, or somebody was blown up in a boat. So there's one tick in my bingo card, and I think this counts as the nationally broadcast execution that I had as one of the few entries on the Trump bingo card. You know, one of the few entries that remain unticked. Fun fact about Venezuela, though. Guess what? It has the world's largest oil reserves, measuring 303 billion barrels. That's a larger reserve than Saudi Arabia's, bigger than Iran's, bigger than Canada's, bigger than Iraq's, and the United Arab Emirates. 303 billion barrels. And at current values, Venezuela's oil reserve is worth $18 trillion. That's 18 with 9 zeros after it. It's $18,000 billion. And a billion is 1,000 million. It's worth about the same as the entire Chinese economy. It's worth the economies of Germany, India, Japan, the UK and France combined. And Mar-a-Lago has just declared war on it for supposedly running drugs into America. Well, it can't be fentanyl that he's talking about because that comes from Mexico and China.
China.
So maybe it's cocaine they're pretending to be worried about. But that's provided almost exclusively by Colombia, Bolivia and Peru, which account for 99.5% of the total cocaine production on Earth. And it doesn't come from Venezuela. At most, a small amount of the total comes through Venezuela. And Trump cares little for that when it's a country that's run by a man who hoses him down with flattery like it's a garden hose. Like that other hair challenge chainsaw-wielding nutjob, Javier Milei, who is running Argentina into the ground and who Trump loves so much, he's giving him $20 billion of the American taxpayers' money. Javier Milei is the failure that Farage loved. Fagash said he was slashing spending. How? He's amazing. How he's showing real leadership. And now that amazing real leader needs a bailout just to keep Argentina afloat. And now there's not so much praise coming from Fagash. Almost as though he wants us to forget everything he ever said about him. In fact, Interpol says that Latin American criminal organizations are increasingly operating their global activities from the largest and most cosmopolitan cities. Buenos Aires is the region's second largest city, with easy sea, land and air access to North America, European and African markets, both legal and illegal. So Trump, propping up a country that exports drugs to America while bombing the citizens of another country that exports drugs to America. And what drug is the Trump regime prepared to kill people in a boat for, from a distance, without knowing who is in the boat or what they were carrying? What drug could it be apart from money? That drug. Anyway, that's another of my Trump bingo card entries ticked off, the national broadcast of an execution. There's not many left, because another one got ticked off this week as well. Trump putting his face on currency.
What?
The New York Times says the Treasury Department is developing a $1 commemorative coin in celebration of the nation's 250th birthday, featuring the image of President Donald Trump. According to draft images of the coin posted on social media by the U.S. Treasury, Brandon Beach, real name, the heads side would have Donald Trump's profile and the tails side an image of him standing before the American flag and pumping his fist with the words, fight, fight, fight. I'm not making that up. And the coin would be legal tender and will go into circulation next year. And I bet that his dopey dingling fans will be paying way more than the dollar it's worth just to have one. But, says the New York Times, it's not clear that Mr. Trump's image can feature on a coin. An 1866 law enshrined a tradition that only deceased people could appear on U.S. currency to avoid the appearance that America has a monarchy. So there's a law that says a living person, not any living person, not let alone a live president, cannot feature on a coin, says the New York Times, as though that is the end of the matter. There's a law. Well, there was a law preventing him from doing pretty much everything that felonious Grump has done since he became president again. And he did it all anyway. Hey, American journalists, wake up. Your country is being stolen from right in front of your faces, and you're too polite to do anything but blow a whistle and call offside. While the player fires the referee, arrests the opposing side, and awards himself the match and the Gold Cup that goes with it, and knocking out anyone who isn't cheering him on.
Like to punch him in the face.
And the White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt said to reporters that she wasn't sure whether Trump was aware of the effort to put his likeness on a coin. I'm not sure he's seen it, but I'm sure he'll love it, she said. Yeah. I'm sure he'd love it more if it didn't feature such a huge bag of saggy skin under his chin. I mean, yeah, you'd practically need two coins just to fit it all on.
Don't be rude.
I bet he has that trimmed down before it gets released to the public. That coin needs to have a salad once in a while.
Don't talk to me that way. I'm the president of the United States. Don't ever talk to the president that way.
0345 6060 973. You can text 84850, email nicka@lbc.co.uk, and if you are on WhatsApp, then it's the same number as the phone, 0345 6060 973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10, Nick Abbott, LBC. It's 10:30, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
President Trump says Israel has agreed to a withdrawal line for its forces in Gaza. He also says a ceasefire will come into immediate effect once Hamas consents to it, leading to an exchange of Israeli hostages and Palestinian prisoners. In the last half hour, Greater Manchester Police has announced an 18-year-old woman and 43-year-old man arrested over Thursday's attack at a synagogue have been released with no further action. They've also been told they can hold another four people for five more days. And the policing watchdog has begun an investigation after a fatal collision on a motorway in West Yorkshire. It happened on the M62 near Leeds, while a Mercedes was being followed by police just before 1 a.m. LBC weather continuing wet and windy with gales in the far northeast of the country overnight. Breezy elsewhere with clear spells eventually for many areas. We'll see a low of around 9 degrees.
This is LBC.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running. Octopus Energy.
Fraud can happen faster than you think. But at Barclays, we use innovative technology that spots fraud in under a second. And our dedicated team of experts work 24/7. So you can go about your day knowing we never stop working to keep you and your money safe. Search Barclays Fraud Protection to see how you can stay one step ahead. Barclays. Make money work for you.
I'm fulfilling more international orders thanks to working capital support.
Export insurance protects my business against the risk of not getting paid by an overseas buyer.
At UK Export Finance, we help businesses export with confidence. Between 2024 and 2025, we provided over £14 billion of government-backed finance and insurance to help businesses grow overseas. Search UK Export Finance to find out how we could help you win export contracts, fulfil orders, and get paid.
I've been asked by Shredded Wheat to read out their ingredients list. Drum roll. Whole grain wheat. No, that's it. A single ingredient, high fibre cereal. Shredded Wheat. It simply does it. I'm telling you, that's it. Applies to Shredded Wheat bite size and Big Biscuit only.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Right, so what are we doing?
Given we are doing a radio show, but it does remind me that I do a podcast with Karen McGiffin, in which Karen McGiffin and I try to solve people's problems while laughing like drains. Now, if you have a problem that you would like us to answer, then it doesn't have to be, you know, something serious. It can be an issue that you'd pondered about for a while, something you'd always wondered about. Then simply send it to the unprofessionals and prepare yourself for total satisfaction. Email nickandcarol@global.com. NickandCarol at global.com and prepare to be totally satisfied. There's over 350 episodes up there available, and I do believe that they will amuse you. If you just want to check out of this mixed-up world that we are being forced to live in, then I think it'll be just the very thing. Ask for it by name on an internet near you. What's your problem with Nick and Carol? Mirtha Tidfill. Hello, Jeff.
Oh, Nick. How are you doing, Beth?
I am super. Thanks for asking.
Good. Well, if you recall, your week last Friday phoned you up about Nathan Gill pleading guilty at the Old Bailey to 8 counts of bribery.
It appeared in the press almost not at all. I think it got more coverage in foreign newspapers than it did in the papers in this country.
Well, New York Times is still running with it.
It's a pretty big story. Russia.
Yep, there's a lot more legs in it, and the silence is deafening.
Exactly right. I think the spotlight needs to widen out a little bit, because there's some people around him that that could do with a bit of hot scrutiny.
Yep, well, it is having an effect, apparently. In the by-election in Caerphilly, where Nathan Gill's gopher, right-hand man, whatever he was when he was an MEP, is standing for reform in the Caerphilly by-election.
Right, this is on the 23rd?
That's the one.
Right, we probably can't talk very much about it then, it being so very near.
Well, the only thing that I would that can be said, so we can't influence that. But the interesting thing that I've been thinking about this week is that when he was due to go on next, the Nathan Gill. He's pleaded guilty. He was due to go on next June. He turns up out of the blue at the Old Bailey, wherever it was. He pleads guilty to 8 counts. But the one count was put aside. The one count of conspiracy. The others were all bribery. Mm. But the one count of conspiracy was put aside. Now, I read that. I read that, and he's a fall guy. They said, look, Nathan, go and do a bit of bird. Don't pick up the soap, etc. Right? But we'll get the conspiracy charge because the conspiracy charge, Nick, will bring in other people.
Right.
Who on earth they are, we'll never know.
Yes.
But I leave that to your imagination.
My imagination is running wild right now. I'm thinking of people that look like they smell of cigarettes.
Yeah, well, the instruction was, they said, turn up with your little suitcase and don't pick up the soap, but do pick up the soap under certain circumstances.
Right.
It might be useful.
In case you want to wash. Exactly right.
Yes,
all right.
Indeed.
Good work. Thanks a lot, Jeff. Keep your eyes peeled. Don't let them get away with the thing. Robin in New Forest says, hi, Nick, with Kemi crumbling, is Bodger's comeback drawing near? Yeah, you want another go at the top job, Bodge?
I can't comment on that.
I absolutely love it. Well, there's just enough people in this country with short enough memories to actually yearn for his return. Can you believe that? It's absolutely extraordinary. Leave him alone. He's doing his best. Those people are still around, you know. And they haven't changed their mind. Yeah, but he's so funny. God, like, that's what we want in the Prime Minister. Amusement. You want to be amused? Go watch Naked Gun 2.5. That's hilarious. But, you know, I think a little bit of boredom from our leader for a certain period of time wouldn't go amiss. Simon and Bray says, with all this cancel culture and the cancelling of American TV hosts for saying nasty things that upset Donald Trump, I would be more than happy if some of our TV stars also said some nasty things and therefore get cancelled. Can I suggest Anne Deck, Bradley Walsh, anyone involved with Britain's Got Talent or X Factor and Loose Women? Loose Women, Carol.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't watch any of the programs that any of those people make. But a lot of people do. And I think it's partly that. I mean, my theory about why is it the same people, the same faces come up over and over and over again. You know, Ant and Dec, always. If they've just ended a run of one program, then they'll pop up front in another program. Bradley Walsh, who, you know, I think is good as a quiz show host. I think he's a good actor as well, isn't he? But he's everywhere. That woman with the fringe, she's like an English sheepdog. She can't see where she's going. She's on everything. There's only about a handful of people who are on all TV programs. And my theory is TV executives, they first get a format and then they try to come up with a name in order to front that format. And if they put somebody who is unknown forwards and that program fails, then that's the executive's fault. But if they put somebody well known to front that program and it fails, that's the star's fault. I think that's it. That's why the same people over and over and over and over
boring
are always on your TV, regardless of what it is that they're actually presenting. You know, those sort of identikit presenters. You can just pick them up, plop them down in any old format, and all the job is really is reading off an auto script that somebody else has written while smiling. That's it. This says, Nick, you must have been reading the only article in existence about Meghan Markle that doesn't include testimony from a body language expert. Yeah, they're everywhere. Snowdonia. Sarah.
Oh, Nick, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sarah.
Hello, darling. I wanted to talk about the fact that, okay, the weather here, the stormy Amy,
yeah,
it's so bad that my four border collies wouldn't go outside.
Oh, that's a bit weak. It's just wind.
Yeah. And it was so grim, it blew our doors and our windows out.
Well, North Wales is a very, very windy place ordinarily, and with that coming across, and there's virtually nothing in between you and it. I mean, if you're on the east side of the country, then you've got some hills and towns in the way, and it'll slow it down a bit. But you're right at the cutting edge there, Sarah.
Yes, we are. And also, wanted to tell you that I've got a new little puppy also.
You got four dogs and a puppy?
Yeah, she's called Nancy.
Right. Isn't that a bit too many dogs?
Well, I've got 10 acres. I'm allowed to have as many dogs as I damn well please.
10 acres? Blimey. And do they just run about? Can they just go go where they please?
Of course not.
No?
No, that would be illegal.
Would it?
No, because I've got other livestock. You know this. We've spoken before.
Sarah, I don't pay attention to anything anybody tells me on this show. Are you kidding? I speak to hundreds of people in the course of a weekend. I'm not
and
expected to be remembering this stuff.
I know. I mean, that's why I adore you.
Yeah.
You're amazing. I think you're the funniest thing in the world. But last night, I had to turn you off because it was just too serious.
Yeah, well, you know, occasionally the news takes over. It is a news talk station, Sarah.
Yeah, but you're not, though.
I'm not what?
Oh, you're not news talk. You're a delightful, lovely chap.
Yeah, I think you'll find that I am news talk and I'm a delightful, lovely chap. You can be both.
Well, I'm sure you can. Actually, I'm backing right down because your producer also told me off.
Right, but he told you off for saying what you just told me?
No, he told me off for apparently backing him down into a corner.
Right, well, I've got no idea what you're talking about now, but whatever it was you did, Sarah, please ensure that you do not do it again. All right. Thank you for your cooperation.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Svita in Moscow says, Meghan, doesn't she look like Mrs. Simpson number two? Mrs. Simpson number two. What, Homer Simpson's second wife? I didn't know he had a second wife. Or maybe that's just translated from Russian and it makes more sense in the original language. I've got no idea what you're talking about, Svita. And it's probably illegal for me to have even read out that text. Ian in Cornwall says, Hi, Nick. Hi, Nick. I see the Warren's shop in Marketplace has closed down. Who? What? Many years ago, I applied for one of the job vacancies making sandwiches. Sadly, all the roles had been filled. Oh, no. A listener with material. That's painful. I've been blindsided. Will says, it was nearly my bedtime before your show as I was watching the remake of Dune. Spoiler alert, it's just as nonsensical and boring as the first film. Yeah, it's that that guy who did Blade Runner, which wasn't Blade Runner. It definitely wasn't anything to do with Blade Runner, but it was Blade Runner 2025 or something like that. That was excruciating. It was Ryan Gosling just staring out the window for 2 hours. It was absolutely painful. The only good thing in that entire film was, spoiler alert,
warning, warning,
when Harrison Ford punched him in the face. That was the only good bit in that whole film. But it looked nice. And he's the same guy that did Dune. And if you're feeling a bit woozy, you know, a little bit sleepy before it starts, then you'll be in the land of Nod in about 10 seconds. Other than that, enjoy. And David Paul says, how many bribes does a party's ex-leader have to take in rubles before they make the front pages in the UK? Just asking the question. He's just asking questions, is Dave. He doesn't know. He's just asking questions. 0345 6060 973 LBC.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
Coming up this Sunday, the city of Manchester is in mourning following the fatal attack on a synagogue. But what will the protest and policing reaction be as the country braces for more demonstrations? And as polling reveals that just 11% of us believe the Conservatives could be ready to return to government, can their leader, Kemi Badenoch, really keep the show on the road? Join me, Lewis Goodall, for complete coverage this Sunday.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall. Sunday morning from 10 on LBC.
When BP asked me to read the voiceover for their new Wild Bean Cafe ad, I thought I knew what to expect. But when they told me I'd be reading the script next to a mountain waterfall, on horseback, strumming a harp, in a hailstorm, naked, ow, 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 ow. Well, that was wildly unexpected. Just like Wild Bean Cafe having a freshly ground signature espresso blend for everything from Americanos to flat whites in a fuel station. Wowzers. Wild Bean Cafe. Only at BP. Subject to availability at selected BP stores only.
The Monopoly game at McDonald's is back. Play today with the Chicken Big Mac. So you can win big while tucking into the three layers of soft bun with delicious gherkins, the iconic Big Mac sauce, and crispy tender chicken patties. Go on, it's your go. From 11 a.m. until the 21st of October. Participating in restaurants. Subject to availability. App may be required. 18 plus. UK. See mcdrules.co.uk.
Hey, it's me, your dishwasher. I'm sorry about the chaos last night. I think a fork got jammed in my racks. Whoops. Don't even check the bills. I've overdone it. Don't get mad, okay, but I used up lots of power yesterday. Sometimes you just have to blow off some steam.
It can feel like all your energy does is take, take, take. But the longer you're with OVO, the more rewards you get. OVO, do energy differently. Beyond customers only, eligibility required, redemption limits apply.
Bring your pensions together into one easy-to-manage online plan with PensionBee. Because when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. When investing, your capital is at risk.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
This is absolute tosh.
0345 6060 973. Stockport. Hello, Mary.
Hello.
Mary.
Yeah, you said that dragons don't like soup.
I do not understand why somebody made a dragon's main meal as soup. Why would a dragon eat soup?
Because he loves it. I used to make it myself. Now I use Baxter's. I wasn't going to phone in, but he's tucked into some lobster bisque. He does his own croutons. He just breathes on them. I make my own bread. He just breathes on them. Then he's got his own croutons. He's as happy as Larry. His name's Wilf, actually. It's not Larry.
Wilf.
Yeah, Wilf, yeah.
Wilf, the magic dragon.
Yep.
I thought he lived by the sea.
Well, I'm next to a canal.
Well, that counts, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and he only goes out at night, so he doesn't frighten people.
Right.
Because he's about 20 foot long.
Well, that would, okay. All right, well, he probably just, sticks with the shadows.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Cliff Richard.
Well, but it's up to, I don't know what he does, it's up to him what he does.
Right. Okay, well, thanks for letting us know, Mary. I'll sum up that call for you. Martin says, I first had roll mops when I visited Sweden many years ago, and I still love it, says Martin. Yuck. Imagine getting up first thing in the morning, and that's your breakfast. Pickled herring, rolled up. Ugh. On that subject, David Hatfield says, eating liver, kidneys and hearts. It sounds absolutely awful. Another one. It says, one for the road, a prediction. A World Cup match gets moved from a Democratic state to a Republican state. Yeah, well, they've already mooted that. Yeah, Donald Trump is trying any way he can to, I don't know, it's like he's declared war on half of America. Most US presidents try to bring their country together. He's doing everything he can in his considerable power to split them apart. Thing is, if the Republican states went their own way and the Democrat states went their own way, then the Republican states would sink in about 2 seconds flat because they are being propped up by the Democrat states where all the money is being made. The Republican states are the ones with the people of a lower IQ. This is a fact. They earn less, they're more dependent on welfare, and they tend to shoot each other a lot. You know, dinglings. So they should be careful what they wish. I mean, if California alone went on its way, then much of America would be upside down, capsized, and on fire. It's odd that Republican states are the opposite of everything that Republican lawmakers actually say that they want. Dependent on welfare, low employment, low education, poor health, the lot. It's an absolute catastrophe over there. And the entirety of America is being held up by the Democrats, whether they're actually in power or not. This text says, for how much money do you think a banana half eaten by David Bowie could go for? I'll give you one of Donald Trump's turkey neck commemorative coins. How does that sound? San Francisco, Sophia.
Hi, Nick, how you doing today?
Am I done?
How are you doing today?
Oh, doing. How am I doing today? I am doing great, mate.
Well, you know, I can tell you, it's over. The charade is all over. America is no longer a democracy. It's an autocracy with a leader that has a yearning for the Confederate South. I mean, we've seen him, all those Confederate generals and leader statues and portraits have been brought into the White House.
Yeah.
The Confederate flag is now in the White House.
Amazing, really, that he's surrounding himself with portraits of losers. They lost that war.
not only that, too, but all this, now here renaming military bases of the Confederate, leaders. For some reason, the yearning for the Confederate South, and it's never going to end well, because at some point, he's literally turning the country apart. I mean, as you said, the if you take California and New York and all the other Democratic states, that's more than 60%, that's more than 70% of the United States GDP.
Yeah, like I said, it's the Democrat states that are propping up America. If it was just the Republican states, then America would cease to exist as an ongoing concern.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I know, where's the media? I mean, the media is basically sleeping at the switch, as you say, over here. We need you. We need you over here. We need you. Well, I grew up in Northern England, but right now I'm in the States, and I'm thinking of leaving.
Yeah, I would pack all of your goods and flee from the house. Don't look back, Sophia. Just get on the first plane to anywhere. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Nick.
Okay, no worries. All this is good advice. Dan in Sanderstead says, regarding mobile phone call quality in the UK, very simply, there are two reasons why it's so bad here. The first is planning and NIMBYs stopping mobile towers going up. We actually need quite a few more. The second is because we're not using a particular Chinese manufacturer's kit anymore in the UK infrastructure. The towers that are up have awful connections upstream to the rest of the network. The result is the pain you deal with on a weekly basis. Yeah, okay, I'll buy all of that. Oh, there's more. He says, when people call you using their mobile phone from abroad... Okay, here comes the explanation that I've been looking for, hopefully. Because I do not understand why people from abroad using a mobile phone sound clearer than people who are originating the call on their mobile phone in this country. How? Because their call is surely being transmitted to me using the same UK infrastructure, regardless of whether they're calling from inside or outside the country. So how? Well, read on, Nick, and you might find out. You might learn something. He says, when people call you using their mobile phone from abroad, their call does not go over UK mobile phone infrastructure. It goes directly into our fibre comms network from undersea cable links and straight through to your desk. And it sounds crispy, gleaming, clean and shiny. No, I don't think so, because if they're calling me on a mobile phone... I mean, I know that we're not, that this is, I'm not speaking to you on a mobile phone. This studio is way heavier than a mobile phone. You could not put this studio in your pocket. That's just a fact. But if you're receiving a call on a mobile phone from somebody who's calling abroad, then it's the same thing. It comes through, clear as a bell. But if you're receiving a mobile call from somebody who is originating their call from inside the country, then good luck on hearing a single solitary word they say. So, a good effort there, Dan, but I'm not entirely convinced. I'm slightly convinced. A little bit. This much. 0345 6060 973. Let's see now. Wembley Park. Hello, Christoph.
Oh, hi, Nick. Yeah, just a small thing. A while ago, you were referring to the amount of oil buried under Venezuela.
Yes.
And you said it was 18 trillion.
Yes.
And then you said that it was 18 with nine zeros.
It is.
Well, I know your math. I hesitate to correct your immaculate math, but 18 trillion is actually 18 with 12 zeros. You correctly said it was 1,000 billion.
Oh,
a billion, right. A billion, yes, yes. Is just here.
Three,
nine, zero.
Six, nine, 12. Yeah, you're correct. Yeah, 18,000 million. That's what that is. $18 trillion. Amazing, really. I mean, Venezuela is such a basket case because, well, I mean, let's not go into it, but, you know, it's... the corruption is off the scale, apart from anything else. But that's how much money they are worth, you know, as far as how much their potential is that they're standing on.
But that is because I think the price per barrel of oil is around $60, which is quite low at the moment. Right. And of course, all it needs to do is to go up to sort of $90 or, you know, $100, and suddenly you're looking at 30.
Bingo!
Or, you know, that's
right. So, but you know, if you're at $18 trillion, I don't think adding another few trillion dollars is going to make any difference one way or the other. It's still a boatload of money with approximately all the zeros on Earth after it.
To a country as small as Venezuela, I mean, just think.
Well, look at Norway.
Well, indeed, look at it.
Look at Norway to see what not having Margaret Thatcher for a prime minister does for you.
Now that we're in October, Nick, I thought I would take the opportunity to make a little request. You don't have to give me a yes or no answer yet, of course.
I'll give you both.
But yes. No.
Are they the same people? So, as you occasionally point out, when we get into August, we're kind of approaching the time as reported in the Bible.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the clocks going back.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the clocks are going to go back at the end of this month. I can't believe that we're going to have to go through that again.
Now, there's an event that is reported in the Bible of the birth of a guy about whom half of the Bible is.
Yeah.
Exactly, that chap, right. So I just wondered if quite close to that event, 25th of December, would you consider...
No.
You love using the phrase new news, right?
Yeah.
Would you consider, just to bring a bit of joy into our lives, would you consider describing them as tidings?
Tidings. So
the tidings with Dominic Watts or Amelia Cox.
Yeah, it's 10:30. Here are the latest tidings with Tim Daly.
Kind of something like that.
Like it. If only I had the capacity to remember something like that, I'd probably use it come the time.
Oh well, that's. I mean, you've really done me good.
Yeah.
You've done my ego amounted a good. You know.
I won't remember it though because
you admitted to my math correctly. Yeah. Well, I might remind you nearer.
Well,
the time
you can try that if you like, but I'm pretty sure that I won't remember it because when the time comes, I'll be all hopped up on tinsel fumes and eggnog.
Right. Well, I mean, I'll send you a Christmas card to remind you.
I'll look forward to that. Excellent work. Thanks a lot, Christoph. 0345 6060 973. Tina in Ebervale says, Nick, I felt genuinely sorry for all the generals who flew over from all over the world for a secret meeting just to be derided. You could feel the anger even though the crowd sat stock still. Yeah. And Trump was flailing. He wasn't waving, he was drowning. Because he delivers that. It's pretty much the same speech that he always delivers. He gets on stage and he just opens his mouth and it all just pours out. And it's the same blooming thing over and over and over again. I won the election that I lost. The radical communist lefties are against me. The deep state and blah, blah, blah. And he's usually got his, you know, his mouth-breathing, green-teethed, credulous fans whooping and cheering. You know, those people.
I love the poorly educated.
But the assembled throng of military generals, they didn't give him any of that feedback that he normally relies on in order to fill the gaps between, you know, his, what dribbles out of his mouth. And he sounded completely insane. I mean, he normally does, but when you've got the crowd cheering you, then you sort of, your brain kind of makes the assumption that what he's saying isn't as nuts as it actually is. You know, if you see what he says written down, then it is, you know, obviously. And when he's saying it to a silent room, then it becomes really, really stark. That man needs help. Is there anybody that can help him?
No.
Is there anybody that can help us?
No, 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 no.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 11 o'clock. President Trump says Israel has agreed to a withdrawal line for its forces in Gaza. He also says a ceasefire will come into immediate effect once Hamas consents, leading to an exchange of Israeli hostages and Palestinian prisoners. But the Middle Eastern journalist Noga Tarnopolsky has been telling LBC nearly 2 years of war have left Israel in a very different place.
Benjamin Netanyahu made several gambles during the course of this war. And one of them was to gamble everything on Donald Trump to such an extent that Israel is completely isolated globally in a way that I don't believe it ever has been since its founding in 1948.
Two of the people being held over this week's terrorist attack at a synagogue in Manchester have been released by detectives. Greater Manchester Police says they will face no further action. LBC's Holly Harris now has more.
The pair are an 18-year-old woman and a 43-year-old man. Tonight's announcements come on the same evening. Officers investigating Thursday's deaths outside the synagogue in Crumpsall said they'd been given more time to question four other people being held. They're two men, aged 30 and 32, and two women, who are 61 and 46. They're being held on suspicion of commissioning, preparing and instigating acts of terrorism.
Nearly 500 people have now been arrested during protests in London supporting the banned group Palestine Action. Its organisers had been asked to cancel the event following Thursday's synagogue attack. The former officer and Police and Crime Commissioner for Gloucestershire, Martin Searle, has been telling LBC resources are being stretched severely.
I would ask people to think, if I was still the commissioner, which I'm not, you know, if the police are doing that, which they must do, what isn't happening? And that probably could be neighbourhood policing, that could be attending the lower level stuff, perhaps. They can't do everything. I think they're between a rock and a hard place.
A man's been charged over the discovery of human remains at Loch Lomond in the middle of September. 38-year-old Graham Wright was last seen in Glasgow in August. Another man is also facing charges over his death. And riot police in Georgia have been using pepper spray and water cannon against protesters following a disputed election. They've been driven away from the country's presidential palace after the governing Georgian Dream Party claimed victory in municipal elections. LBC weather continuing wet and very windy with gales in the far northeast of the UK overnight. Breezy elsewhere with clear spells for most areas eventually. We'll see a low of around 9 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
Does anybody care what this guy says?
No!
And I can't stand him.
Simon in Bray says, talking of the Happy Days episode of Jumping the Shark on ITV, there's no punctuation. I'll just try it from the top. Talking of the Happy Days episode of Jumping the Shark, probably a comma, ITV are literally doing the same at the moment as they've got a show where celebrities have to swim with sharks. No, they don't. Do they? I'm not intelligent or sober enough to know the word for this, but I think it might be a metaphor. They do not have a program where celebrities swim with sharks, do they? Well, there must be those safe sharks. I mean, they're not swimming with great whites, are they? Shark celebrity infested waters. My glamorous assistant's just pulled this up for me. So those are the celebrities. Well, I know that bloke. He's Lenny Henry. I don't know who any of the other people are. Who are they? Celebrities? I don't think so. Mind you, I don't know who anybody is anymore. I don't think anybody knows who anybody is anymore. Because TV isn't watched by everybody all the time. Hey, kids, you're not going to believe this, but it were grand when I were a lad. There used to be three channels.
What?
Yeah, three. And everybody watched the same thing all the time. And you got to school the next day or your place of work and you could have a chat about what you saw on TV last night because everybody was watching the same thing. You know, Coronation Street, which is still going, can you believe that?
No.
That used to get watched by 18 million people. 18 million! You know, something with Bruce Forsyth on a Saturday night, that would pull in like 20 million people. The two Ronnies would get that amount of listeners. I mean, viewers. Because there was nothing else on. Literally nothing else to do. We had no internet. We had, if you wanted to listen to music, you didn't get streaming. You didn't get, music streaming through a pipe coming into your house. None of that. If you wanted to do something else, you had books to read.
Boring!
And nobody wanted to do that. And so what counts as a celebrity these days is not a celebrity to everybody. Everybody used to know who everybody else was on TV. But now, I mean, I'm looking at the faces now. I've got absolutely no idea who any of those people are. Who are they? Oh, here are the names. Sir Lenny Henry. Lucy Punch. Helen George. Okay, I'm reading their names. I'm looking at their faces and I still don't know who they are. Rachel Riley. Aid Adepiton. Dougie Pointer and Ross Noble. Oh, I've heard of Ross Noble. He's a comic, isn't he? They embark on a dangerous journey to the Bahamas to swim with sharks. Will we miss them if only a few of them come back?
No.
entertainment and reality is what they're calling that. 48 minutes long. Blimey, that's about 40 minutes too much. And there's five. They managed to get five episodes out of this already. I can't believe it. But that's the reason that, there's really, the concept of celebrity has been somewhat stretched lately. It's because so has the media. There's just so much of it. They're actually jumping the shark, literally right now, on ITV. Yeah, apart from anything else, nobody really watches TV. You know, all of that, that furore about the late-night talk show hosts getting fired because they were mean to Donald Trump. They said nasty things about his hair.
Don't talk to me that way. I'm the president of the United States. Don't ever talk to the president that way.
And Trump was going on about, they're very low ratings, they're very bad. And all of his mini-me's were chiming along saying, yes, yes, of course, they didn't get fired because Donald Trump threatened the TV station with not allowing their multi-billion dollar mergers to go ahead. That had nothing to do with it. Why would anybody think that? No, they got fired because, they have very, very poor ratings. Well, you would only say that if you didn't know how people consume media these days. You know, that James Corden, he went to America and he fashioned a career out of being a late-night talk show host. But people didn't really watch him on TV. They watched the clips of the previous night's TV program on YouTube. That's how people watch that kind of thing these days. I mean, being a late night talk show host means that you're on at midnight. They do mean late night. You know, they start maybe 11 o'clock, and if you're on one coast or the other, then it could be very, very much later than that. And people don't stay up to watch that anymore. You know, they're exhausted from having run on life's treadmill all day long. They ain't got no energy to stay up late. Like that person in San Francisco that I talked to some while ago. Or was it Sweden? Don't ask me. I don't listen to this show. No idea. But that's the reason that the ratings have gone down twofold. One, there's 86,000 different channels on TV now, and not just the four or five that Americans used to have when, you know, Johnny Carson was massive and David Letterman and all those people. And so there's just so much more choice, and people don't sit and watch TV like that anymore. They watch clips of those shows, which is why they have those, you know, silly moments. I think Corden had those carpool karaoke things. Well, it wasn't really for the TV audience. It was a nice little short clip that you could cut up and put on YouTube the following day. And the, you know, like Jimmy Kimmel, he gets something like 80 million followers on YouTube. So they're doing boffo business. They're making a ton of money. But it's just that they don't have great ratings like, you know, Johnny Carson used to. And Donald Trump, of course, is mentally living way in the past. And he hasn't really caught up. He doesn't know that. And nobody is prepared to tell Donald Trump that he doesn't know anything. Because, as any fool know, Donald Trump knows more about anything than anybody. Whatever the subject is.
I know a lot about wind.
Yeah.
I know a lot about wind.
He knows more about wind than anybody who has ever existed.
I know more about grass than any human being, I think, anywhere in the world. Grass has a life. Do you know that? Grass has a life. You know, we have a life and grass has a life.
The President of the United States of America.
Oh, no.
The world's most powerful man. The human race has made a great mistake. I think we took a wrong turning. Let's see if we can't retrace our steps. Who's with me? Reigate. Hello, Alan.
Yeah, I'm with you, Nick, anytime. That Wallace that the young lady from Russia was reminding you of was Wallace Simpson, the lady that married Edward.
Oh, what?
Oh, and I'm surprised a young man like you, I didn't expect you to know that, so I just thought I'd throw it in.
But she doesn't look like her.
Oh, she. Well, if you look at the young pictures of Wallace Simpson, the dark hair and the it's a narrow face and what have you, yeah.
Oh, right. I'm not familiar with the young Wallace Simpson. I know what she looks like when, or what she looked like when she was old.
Oh, that's right. But then that's what the young Russian lady was mentioning.
Right.
For your edification,
yes.
I just thought you might like to know.
Well, I'm being contacted by the Russians now, so any day now, a big check will be coming through the post. Can't wait.
There's certainly others that have had those, I think.
I'll say anything you like, Vlad.
Anyway, nice to know that you're on form and you're doing well.
Thanks, Alan.
Cheers, bud.
Oh, that's it. Good work. He did what he was going to do, and then he tootled off. Said what he was going to say, said it, told me he was going to say it, said it, and then told me what he'd said, and that was that. The perfect call.
Correct.
Dan in Crosby says, hi Nick, little known fact, Fonzie's bike from Happy Days was the same bike that Steve McQueen jumped the fence in The Great Escape. Not the same bike, surely. Not the very same one. Do you mean it was the same type of bike? I'm assuming it was a Harley Davidson. One of those stupidly noisy bikes that people drive who don't mind waking up the neighbourhood for a mile in every direction every time they drive at night. Those people. Let's have East Yorkshire. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Nick. Yeah. Couple of TV bits first. Have you noticed that the Kenny Everett video show's on repeat at the moment?
No, people do keep telling me about that, and I keep forgetting, because, as I've explained many times, I don't listen to this show, so, no, I keep forgetting.
But it's excellent, and they have some great artists on this week. It's Brian Ferry and the Moody Blues.
Oh, yeah.
I've forgotten how good the artists were that he actually got on that, because it was an early evening filler sort of a thing.
Well, and, they loved him, the artists. I mean, you know, he would fool about with some of the world's biggest artists, and they would let him. You know, Freddie Mercury and Rod Stewart went on there and all of that.
Yeah, and the thing is, when I was watching it, I thought, I taped it and thought, it'll be a bit dated.
Yeah.
But it isn't actually, it's as fresh as a daisy.
Mm.
It's brilliant. And then at the end, I was shocked a bit. It was made 47 years ago, Nick.
Wow. Oh, that's scary. 47 years ago? Blimey.
Yeah.
I remember walking with him. I went to interview him as a kid. I was at university, and we were... I've probably told this thousands of times. But we were all tasked with going out and interviewing a stranger. Just pick somebody in the supermarket and ask them if you can talk to them about their life, because I was studying psychology. And I thought, well, that sounds boring. I'll go and interview my hero, Kenny Everett. And I called up his agent... and she said, yes, I couldn't believe it. And so I went over to Capital Radio, which was in Euston Tower then, that big building that's still there at the top of Tottenham Court Road. And I went in. He was absolutely delightful. It was a complete waste of time as far as my psychology course was concerned, because I was just laughing for an hour. He sort of, you know, he did his thing. And he gave me a lift with his producer afterwards to the railway station. And I think it was... Marylebone Station. And this was when he was doing that show as well on TV, so it was the height of his fame. And it was absolutely extraordinary, because it was packed, this railway station, and it was almost like we went through it with a snowplow, because people just sort of scattered out of his way. It was like this wave of people on either side of us, just like moving aside, as though he had a phalanx of security guards with him. But they didn't. They just sort of it was kind of like floating through it. It was really quite extraordinary, and that's. I've never really been in the presence of somebody quite that famous and loved before.
No, I mean, it was great. I mean, it was a can't miss job. And I can remember his famous phrase, and my ancient aunt asked me to go and see her, and I said, yeah, but we've got to watch Kenny Everett. And he came out with his Cupid stunt bit.
Yeah.
And she blanched. Nearly passed out. And I said, no, you repeat it. She said, I can't do that. And I said, no, what did he actually say? But it really shocked her.
Yeah, well, I can imagine, yeah. It's remarkable that he could get away with that on TV. And what was really remarkable about him was that he was the complete master of radio, which is a non-visual medium. And he just crossed over into TV, which is all about the visuals, but not just as a presenter, because a lot of DJs have done TV and they've presented. You know, they stood there and they've read off the auto cue, and here is this and there is that, and, you know, there's nothing much to it. But he became as good and as playful with the TV medium as he was with radio, and the two are completely different. That was an incredible talent.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I remember when The Goon Show was on the radio, and then they tried to do the telegoons, and it didn't really transfer.
Right.
Not like Kenny Everett. I mean, it was like he was made for it.
Yeah, it was. It really was. And it was like his entire life, he was trying to burst through the radio and do visual comedy as well. But yeah. I guess he only knew that he could do that when he was given the gig to do it. And more so than any other DJ who has also done TV... He was the absolute master of it. In fact, I'm trying hard to think about somebody who was as good on television, as sort of playful with the medium, as Everett was, regardless of whether they were on radio first. In all that time since, 47 years, has there ever been anybody that's as quite as... I'm trying to think of another word other than playful, but...
Well, the nearest I could get is John Cleese.
Right. Well, that's kind of different, because he was an actor.
Yeah, but he was sort of playful in what he did. I don't know how to put it. That daft stuff was funny, whereas I'm not normally into real daft humour, but John Cleese could do daft humour, and Kenny Everett could do daft humour.
Yeah, I say that the Monty Python people were, and Cleese was, because it didn't matter what the material was. He could make it funny just by dint of how he said it. Because, you know, the classic Monty Python sketches, for instance, the parrot sketch, the dead parrot sketch, and the cheese shop sketch, they're just lists. They just got a thesaurus and wrote down lots of different words for the concept of death. And that's the parrot sketch. And the cheese shop sketch is just a list of cheeses, which you wouldn't think would be funny, but in his mouth, they are.
And the Yorkshireman. No,
well,
open out before I went to bed, Mullet.
Right.
Little road train with some. I mean, it's daft, but... but the other thing on TV, while I'm on about TV, Monday nights are looking up because there's Bill Maher, followed by John Oliver on Monday night now, and they're
right. Yes, they both are, yeah. I have a bit of a problem with Bill Maher on certain issues. He's been a bit annoying lately, but John Oliver is a great talent, yeah.
No.
And it's all done in the best possible taste, Mike. Don't forget that. All right, thanks a lot, mate. 0345 6060 973 LBC.
This is LBC.
The Monopoly game at McDonald's is back. And with a 1 in 4 chance to win instantly on pack, you could get your hands on a £2,000 Jet 2 holiday, a Big Mac, Merlin annual passes for 4, and even more epic prizes. Go on, it's your go. 18 plus, UK, ends 21st of October. Selected menu items, subject to availability. App may be required. See mcdrules.co.uk.
Welcome on board this LNER service from London King's Cross to Edinburgh. My name's Paul, your train manager today, and hang on. Is that Scrabble tournament in coach here? Yes, G with an X is a word. Right, we're cruising at 125 miles per hour. Same speed this lad next to me is typing. Someone's on a roll. The cafe bar's in coach G if you fancy a brew. Or if you're mid-box set binge, just order through the QR code at your seat. We'll deliver it. So sit back and enjoy your journey. With LNER, it's freedom all the way.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott.
I think this is nonsense.
Thanks, Dave. You're the best. Don't worry about us not finding you if we need to. We know where you'll be. You'll be in the shed where they keep the tools. 0345 6060 973. Andy in Horsham says, hi, Nick. In my opinion, the only Bowie albums worth having are Hunky Dory and David Live, 1974. As you probably know, the 1974 album was from the Diamond Dogs tour and featured most of his back catalogue played by some top musicians. After this, there was a slow decline, except maybe for young Americans. Anyone who says differently is just plain wrong, says Andy. Andy is an idiot.
Affirmative.
And probably shouldn't talk on this or any other subject in public again. And I mean that in the nicest possible way, Andy. I'm just trying to help. Let's have Bath. Laura.
Oh, hello, Nick.
Laura.
Did you have a good week?
Yes, it was, what did I do? It was okay, I suppose.
You're reminiscing a lot this evening. It's very sweet.
Right.
Do you like the song...
Straits? Do I like the song what?
Tunnel of Love by Dire Straits.
Dire Straits. I'm not really a big fan of Dire Straits.
Do you like the song Telegraph Road?
Yeah, I'm not really a big fan of Dire Straits. Ask me another one.
What? I can keep going.
I refer you to the answer I gave some moments ago.
What about Sultans of Swing?
Sultans of Swing. Live version. Well, I'm not really a big fan of Dire Straits, so. So there.
This evening I wanted to talk to you with another psychology question. I had one for you last week. Do you remember?
No.
Do you remember?
No.
Oh, go on, you do.
Do I remember a question that you asked me about psychology last week? No.
Yeah, of course you do.
No, I don't. I've got no idea.
But before I was waiting for you to pick me, well, I was doom-scrolling on my phone.
Oh, pick me, sir, pick me. Yeah.
Before I was waiting for you to, pick the call or whatever it is, I was doom-scrolling my phone, and I just had a random thought, you know bungee jumping?
Don't do it.
What? Have you done it?
No. You have to be nuts psychologically speaking, you would have to be nuts to bungee jump. That's just a fact. I mean, it can't be... Even if you don't smash into the rocks below because the hippie that tied the bungee on you has miscalculated the distance between here and there. Even if that doesn't happen, it cannot possibly be good for your body to be stretched out like that upside down. Can it?
Is your psychology degree talking? Do you literally think, you know that like old torture device where they would strap someone in and like stretch them?
Yeah, I know. People pay good money for that.
But there was, must have been one moment during that torture where it must have felt amazing.
Yeah. Oh, stop before there. Yeah, they said, yeah. No, we're not going to. No, there's plenty more where that came from.
But my question was, I see lots of videos of bungee jumping, but I never see them like being brought up. Like, how do they get back up?
That's a good question.
I haven't seen it. Have you? Like, do they just get rolled up like a fishing rod, or like do they get lowered to the ground, or
rolled up like a? I've caught another one. I don't know. I've never seen the what happens afterwards.
It's just bothering me. I thought you know, but this doesn't. You don't.
Yeah, this doesn't really have anything to do with psychology, though, does it?
No, it's not. I've
You were lying about that, right?
No, my question was, have you heard of the MBTI Myers-Briggs 16 personalities test?
No.
Well, you can do it for free online, and it's a little bit pseudo psychology because you do it in, you know, 20 questions or 40 or whatever, and it's really nice. They give you like a little report, and it tells you like what celebrities have that personality type.
Oh,
and
for
you
God's sake! This sounds like something you read in the Mail Online. Are you kidding? This is not a proper test.
But you read it, and like there's a section on like careers, relationships.
It's the kind of thing of how you drink your tea and what it says about your personality. Those kind of things.
No, but it's like a. You know, pseudo psychology. It's just a bit of fun, Nick. I mean, that's...
Fun. Yeah, I remember fun.
Yeah. But it'd be interesting if you did it, because sometimes when I did mine, I was interested in what it said on the careers page, because it says people with this personality type thrive in these careers.
What did it tell you about your career?
Oh, it said I should be like... I think it was a teacher was my meal. Right. Do you know, it's funny, since I've been in school, I've been told by every person at the careers test I did at school that I should be a teacher, and I'm a very good fit for being a teacher, and I don't like being told what to do, so I refuse, and I'm pursuing a completely different career now.
Right. Well, I'm using the extent of my psychological knowledge to tell you that you're nuts. Just be a teacher, for crying out loud.
Well, you have to have expert knowledge to be a teacher. I can't, you know.
Oh well, forget it then. If it's hard, then just forget it.
That's your psychology, ladies and gentlemen.
I did one of those tests at university to see what career I should pursue, and it told me that I should be in public relations.
Yeah.
No, Carol.
And did you what job did it recommend based on your birthstone or something? DJ.
Yeah. No, I didn't do any of that. Although, apparently a French psychologist did do a census and cross-referenced cross-referenced the census in France to what careers people had eventually taken, and certain careers corresponded quite well with people's star signs. And nurses often would be one particular sign, I can't remember which one, but weirdly they did DJs, and my sign was it. So it was predestined. It was meant to be.
It was written in the stars, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Can I say one last thing?
Okay, then.
Yeah, this will make you laugh.
And I doubt it. See, when people say that, oh, this will make you laugh, or this is a funny story, it never is, and it never does.
Nick, you've been laughing the whole time we've been on the phone together. What are you talking about?
Well, somebody is tickling me as we speak. Go ahead.
It's a glamorous assistant. That's not in his job description.
No, it isn't. No. He's spoken to human resources, and they won't help.
Because they have the wrong birthstone for that job. Yeah.
Anyway, what's your question?
It wasn't a question. It was just I got a walking harness for my chicken off of Amazon.
There's no such thing.
I thought it would make you laugh.
There's no such thing.
No, it is, and it came with instruction, and it comes with a little strap on. This really sounds like a lie, but I promise you it's not. It comes with a little strap on, like, nappy if you want to take them indoors, because I thought, if I take it to a cafe, she's not toilet trained, so what am I going to do? But they thought of that for me, and that came with it. But The problem is... Well, she needs to be trained, and one of the reviews said you need to train. It gave it like 3 stars and said, good product, but you need to train your chicken first.
Right.
Because when I put it on her, she had no clue what to how to walk. Like, she looked like she had some sort of neurological issue.
Well, it's a blooming... you're trying to train a dinosaur, for crying out loud. It doesn't know what to do. A product you just bought from Amazon, it's got a 100-million-year-old brain.
Well, I know someone else with a 100-million-year-old brain, you know.
that chicken harness, does it come with a recipe? Thanks a lot, Laura. 0345-6060-973. You can text 84850, email nicka@lbc.co.uk, and if you're on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone. 0345-6060-973. It's 11:30 on LBC, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
Health officials in Gaza say dozens of people were killed during Saturday following Israeli strikes. President Trump has demanded the IDF ceases military activity in the territory after Hamas declared it accepted certain elements of his 20-point peace plan. Nearly 500 people have now been arrested during protests in London supporting the banned group Palestine Action. Its organisers had been asked to cancel the event following Thursday's synagogue attack in Manchester. And one person's being killed and more than 30 injured after Russian drones struck a railway station in Ukraine. President Zelensky described the attack at Shoska in the Sumy region as savage. LBC weather continuing wet and very windy with gales in the far northeast of the UK. Breezy elsewhere overnight with clear spells for many places and a low of around 9 degrees.
This is LBC.
Experience. It's knowing when something is worth waiting for. And when it isn't. That's why Saga Health Insurance offers unlimited GP appointments whenever you need them. With a choice of flexible plans, prompt tests and treatment, your health is taken care of. And right now, get 3 months free. Search Saga Health Insurance for a quote today. New customers starting a policy before the 27th of November. Pay by monthly direct debit for the first year. Terms and conditions apply. Over 50s only.
Can your phone drown out irritating noises in your videos? Can anybody hear me over this? Luckily, Audio Eraser on the Galaxy S25 Ultra gets rid of background noises in seconds. Can your phone do that? Galaxy can. Get 15% off Galaxy S25 Ultra with code S15.
Buy from Samsung.com by the 21st of October 2025. Use code at checkout. Voucher code can't be combined with any other offer. Samsung account login and network connection required.
For stunning retirement apartments to buy or rent, search McCarthy Stone or call 0800 153 3055.
I've been asked by Shredded Wheat to read out their ingredients list. Drum roll. Whole grain wheat. No, that's it. A single ingredient, high fibre cereal. Shredded Wheat. It simply does it. I'm telling you, that's it. Applies to Shredded Wheat Bite Size and Big Biscuit only.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
What's he got to be depressed about?
Life. You know, apart from that, nothing. Helen in Lancashire says, did you know that Luxembourg has a new Grand Duke? His father abdicated yesterday. Lots of glamour and bling on display. It was lovely to see, says Helen. Oh, Luxembourg.
Boring.
No. I lived in Luxembourg. It's the world's dullest capital city. This says how apt the coin issued in Trump's name is, the loony. Well, you're saying that as though it's a fact. I very much doubt it. And Cole says, the common theme with you deluded communists is always defending the action of criminals. Are those poor, innocent, pharmaceutical-running Venezuelan sailors? Well, speaking as a psychologist, I have to determine, I'm afraid, Cole, that you are a psychopath. First of all, I'm not a communist, you idiot. I'm not defending the action of criminals. The only criminal that I saw in the execution of those people in a boat off Venezuela, in international waters, by the way, were the people that killed them. Other than that, we don't know who they were. We don't know what was in the boat because they blew it up from afar. And by the way, what difference would it make if they were running pharmaceuticals? The punishment for being suspected of running pharmaceuticals is not instant death. It's not anywhere, not even in Saudi Arabia. There's a trial first, then an execution. But he skipped the trial part. He skipped the investigation part. He skipped the part where you actually know what was in the boat and who was in the boat. They had no clue. But they just blew it up on TV, essentially, and put the video online. A snuff video from the President of the United States of America. And people like Carl are doing a little happy-clappy dance just at the very idea. Yeah, somebody else other than me had a bad day. You're not the solution, Cole. You're the problem. Leytonstone. Hello, Russell.
Oh, good evening. I've got some questions for you. You're a quick fire man, aren't you?
No.
Yes, you are. Right, I'm going to ask you 20 questions, right? And I want quick fire answers. You get them all right. They're really easy. There's nothing difficult. If you get them all correct, I will give £50 charity, right?
Well, let's see how we do with the first question, and then I'll make a judgment as to where we go.
The first question is, what rhymes with day?
What rhymes with day?
You've got to be quicker than that. Come on.
May.
Right. What do you put on your sandwich?
Butter.
Quick. Right, now we're going to start getting quicker. What do you drive to work?
A red car.
Right, perfect. Right, you need to get quicker. Right, how many eyes has a Cyclops got?
One.
Oh, yeah, very, very good, but you're too slow. Come on, you've got to speed up. Right, now, these are easy questions. Speed up. Right, now, what? Okay, you got the idea now, yeah? Right, quick answers.
Mm-hmm.
What does a fire brigade stop doing?
What does a fire brigade stop doing?
Yeah, what do they stop? What do they present? What is their job?
I think that you're misreading some of these questions, Russell.
Okay, right. Answer this one. Tales of the...
Tales of the... See you later. All right, thanks a lot, Russell, for, you know, whatever that was. Mark says, hi, Nick. I am currently in the UK from Australia. I usually listen to your show at 7 a.m. I must say the 10 p.m. version is much more refreshing.
Booze.
Is that what you mean? And this says, hi, Nick. First time listener. Me and my friend Benjamin were wondering whether you personally can separate the art from the artist. We'd be interested to know. You have to separate the art from the artist. Otherwise, the National Gallery would be half empty. People will have to be pulling paintings off walls all over the world. Half of the music that you listen to on the radio would have to be discontinued. And films would have to be pulled. Books would be burnt. No, of course you've got to separate the art from the artist. It's essential that you do that. For the benefit of your health. Tavistock. Hello, Rose.
Hello, Nick.
How many questions have you got for me, Rose?
Oh, no. I wouldn't have dared. This is funny, isn't it?
It was weird. I don't know where we were going with that, but I knew that I didn't want to go there.
Yes.
I had a feeling.
Well, I think those sort of calls are one of the things where you do have to trust your own flipping insect.
Your instinct.
Not instinct.
Not your instinct. No, not your insect. Your instinct. Yes.
I was just going to say something about my motorbike and then Sweden, but I've just thought of something briefly.
Now, you haven't got one of those really super loud Harley Davidsons, have you? Why do they have to be so loud, crying out loud?
I don't know, but they're fascinating to look at. I see them in the bike park, you know.
Yeah, they're great when they're off. When in the off position, they look good. Once they start them up, that's a stupidly large amount of noise they make. Why do they have to be so noisy?
Well, that is very true, yes. Well, I'm on a landline, you see.
Yeah.
And it's reminded me of something in a sketch, in a sketch show. I've no idea who it was, and it's years ago, and I was younger, but it still makes me laugh thinking about it. You'll think I'm a fool. but they were just sort of doing a takeoff of like American sort of private eye type thing, you know, with the trilby hat and that. But he was sat at his desk, and there was this voiceover which had gone on a bit, sort of setting the scene. And then it said, and all of a sudden the phone went, and the telephone on the desk slid resolutely across the desk and out the door. And it still makes me laugh thinking about it.
Well, that's just silly. It sounds like something that the two Ronnies would have done.
It could have been, couldn't it?
Because they used to have those. They used to have those long running series within their programs. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
that was my least favourite part of that program. That was the moment that you get up, and make a cup of tea.
Yes, they could be a bit strange, couldn't they?
Yeah.
But, well, I was just going to report that obviously you won't remember me telling you about my exhaust pipe, but it has come, and, well, actually, I think they brought it back 2 weeks ago. So I've got my exhaust pipe now. No, it's a small one called a C90. I'm very, very proud of it, you see, because I've been riding it for 30-odd years.
A C90 is what people used to use to make each other...
sexually aroused?
No. No.
Sorry.
No is a bad rose. No, a C90 is what people used to use to make each other mixtapes. Do you remember that? Mixtapes.
Rock and roll!
Yeah, C90.
Oh, that was something on the... Yes, I've got some old tapes with funny letters on. Yeah, you're right.
C60, C90, C... What was it? That's the song. C60, oh. C30, C60, C90, go!
Oh, no, I wouldn't know that. Don't know about that, no. It's really a Honda 90, a Honda Cub 90.
Oh, right.
Mm, Cub, you see, because it's small, but it is a motorbike and not a scooter.
Not a scooter, no, because those make an unedifying racket as well. A scooter has got an engine about the size of a pudding mixer, and the noise they make is ridiculous. But they have electric ones now, which are a marvellous thing, and you'd think that they would be ideal for having electric power, because it is so very small. It's just got little old you on it, Rose.
Oh, well, I have to kickstart mine. It's an engine with petrol, you know.
Right, I'm just saying that they exist, that's all.
Yeah,
that is the future,
that
is, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was in, I'm just thinking of our first caller in Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
And well, funnily enough, my sister and I were talking about having been in Sweden only yesterday.
They do eat a revolting breakfast, though, don't they? Like pickled herring, the roll mops, they call them. And if you don't want that, then they got cheese. And it's about the texture of a car tyre. It's awful.
Well, we just had breakfast in our rented... It was a very nice rented house, actually, we got for the year we were there. It was Father's work, you see, so that's why
we
were there.
Oh, you were there for a year? Oh, so you made your own breakfast.
Yeah, so right. I don't think we ever had breakfast with a Swede, but the Swedes were such lovely people. Because Pa and Mum met all his colleagues, right, and their wives. It was like that in those days.
Hmm.
And they were the nicest couples we ever knew, and they were so nice to us. We were these two pretty little girls, you know. I was 7 to 8, and she was 3.
Right.
I mean,
So not a threat, then?
Not a threat in any way, no. And then it was the coldest winter they'd had in 20 years when we went. Can you imagine?
It's weird, isn't it, that they're freezing blooming cold, and the light goes at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and yet they're among the happiest people in the world. Happy.
They were just so hospitable and so kind.
Yeah.
And it was candles everywhere. This is what my mum loved, because she's a bit like that.
Mm.
It would be dark early and all that.
Yeah.
And there'd be candles in everybody's window.
Well, they call it hygge, or is that the Danes?
Oh, that's the Danes, yeah.
Right. Well, nobody can tell the difference between one and the other. What's the difference between a Danish person and a Swedish person? They're the blooming same.
I've never met a Dane. We did have one of Pa's colleagues, who's this great tall chap. I can see him now, simply because I've got a photograph of them all. But And he, with a blonde hair, I mean, they'll be dead now, don't worry about it. And he introduced himself and he said, I am a Finn, but really I am a Pole. And we never quite grasped exactly what he was.
I wonder if
quoting that line forever and ever, you know.
I wonder if, because they're so very, very near each other, I mean, they share a border, that the one type hates the other, because that tends to be the case when gangs, which are, is what countries are essentially, abut each other.
Yeah,
And they were constantly making jokes about how stupid the other side
the
is.
The other side, yes, these awful Finns or these awful Swedes.
Yeah.
It could be. But I just wanted to, I don't know why, I suppose I'm reminiscing. We had a sledge, you see, and we lived at the top of a hill. So we went zooming down the hill. I mean, you couldn't drive up the hill, you know, in the winter.
Yeah.
Not that winter, anyway. And then we sort of have to pull the damn thing all the way back up again. And I skated. I mean, bear in mind that my sister was only three, you know, so. And they bought me these skates, and it was just bliss skating on this ice rink out in the open air, you know.
You could have used your sister as a bowling ball.
She was so adorable, Nick, honestly. She was so...
I don't mean bowling ball, do I? I mean an ice, what do they call it? Curling.
Oh.
A curling kettle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, she was rather round. I can see her now.
Just chuck her down the ice and she'll hurtle into a bunch of skittles that you've put up for that very purpose.
Yes.
All you need now is a time machine, Rose.
Yeah, that's right.
That opportunity is gone.
When we got older, we moved from Oxfordshire to Sheffield, which was terribly traumatic, to be honest with you. So we were playing out in the streets. And I've since learned that she was quite frightened of the scrapes I used to lead her into. So I'm saddled with that guilt now. I mean, she only said yesterday, you know, I was terrified when we ran. I was so frightened of those men we ran away from because we were trespassing. And I said, I'm so sorry. She says, not your fault.
Trespassing? Were you scrumping for apples?
No, it was a waterworks field. Because we'd come from Oxfordshire and we'd had a very long garden. I mean, very, very modest house. But they just had very long gardens. And we're used to being out in grass and everything.
Mm.
And there we were in this. It was all stone. And it was before the Clean Air Act. And everything you touched was sooty.
Yeah.
And but at the top of the road, there was this field. So I thought, right, well, we're going in there. And I climbed onto the wall, and because there were trees all around this very extensive area, I could swing on one of the branches of the trees and jump into the field. How did my sister get down? I can't think.
Fell? You threw her? I'm calling social services. Rose, I've got to go, but thanks for that. 0345... 6060973 LBC.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Terror at the synagogue.
Everybody else! He has the ball! Go away!
He's got a bomb on
The attack in Manchester on Yom Kippur brings the rising tide of anti-Semitism into sharp focus. I spoke exclusively with Israeli President Isaac Herzog.
This heat wave of anti-Semitism and anti-Jewish feelings all over the world at the end reaches bloodshed.
But is the government doing enough to tackle anti-Jewish hate?
Anybody who breaks the laws of our land, they must face the full force of the law.
Anything but a United Kingdom. So where does the country go from here?
Nick Ferrari at Breakfast, back Monday morning from 7. Listen on your radio, on Global Player, and the LBC app.
Angela Rippon, what are you doing here?
I've come to tell you about using energy flexibly, Albert.
Flexibly?
Yes, smart meter owners could get rewarded for moving their energy use, like doing the laundry at off-peak times.
So I don't need to do the splits?
No, Albert, nobody wants to see that.
Get rewarded for using energy flexibly, only with a smart meter. Search Get a Smart Meter today.
Eligibility and availability vary. Consumer action required. Reward schemes and tariffs available to selected customers from selected suppliers.
Get a step closer to winning a huge £20,000. Enter now at winplus.co.uk. Winplus, great prizes, real winners. 18 plus, GB only, T's and C's apply.
Managing your business is a big task. To then stay on top of the numbers as well, you're only human. That's why the Intuit QuickBooks AI-powered platform supports your business growth as the number one recommended cloud accounting software. Intuit QuickBooks. based on a survey of 506 UK accounting professionals. Verify at quickbooks.co.uk/verify.
Can your phone drown out irritating noises in your videos? Can anybody hear me over this? Luckily, Audio Razor on the Galaxy S25 Ultra gets rid of background noises in seconds. Can your phone do that? Galaxy can. Get 15% off Galaxy S25 Ultra with code S15.
Buy from Samsung.com by the 21st of October 2025. Use code at checkout. Voucher code can't be combined with any other offer. Samsung account login and network connection required.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
H-O-T-A-I-R.
This text says, looking at getting some new trainers, any recommendations? Yes, try finding some that aren't hideously ugly. I double dare you. They don't exist. I'm getting a bit sick of this. I mean, what's the matter with just black, for crying out loud? Why do they have to be such hideous colours? I was looking for ones that don't let the rain in, because most of them, of course, will let the rain and the wind in. And a manufacturer will usually have, like, one that has got a Gore-Tex lining. And they are about the most hideous ones that they do. Why? Why do they have to be so blooming ugly? I mean, I almost bought them. They were purple. I looked like a clown in purple shoes. And in the very unlikely circumstance that they're plain on the top, like they might be black on the top, but then they'll have bright yellow soles. So it looks like flashing lights walking down the pavement. I just don't understand why they have to be so blooming ugly. Why? What's also weird is that shoes are the only thing that people can wear that are crazy clown colours. Men particularly. Of all the items of clothing that men wear, that's about the weirdest one to choose to express your individuality and personality. To actually, you know, go crazy with the colours. I mean, it's not ties. People don't really wear ties anymore, do they? And it's not like a handkerchief in your top pocket, because people don't do that anymore either. And it's not wearing wacky coloured jackets or an interesting coloured hat. No, it's shoes. I mean, before the invention of these wacky trainers, if you asked people which item of clothing would men in the future wear that was, you know, orange and purple and green and blue, all on the same product, shoes would have been their last choice, wouldn't they? Because you'd think that that would be the most conservative item of clothing that a man would wear. They're either black or, if you're very daring, and in the country, brown. That's it. Those are the only choices you get. Trainers are white. And I suppose it was the footballers, wasn't it? Footballers started trotting out in luminous orange trainers. Presumably because the company that they were getting millions of pounds of money from would want to draw the public's attention to those shoes. Because if they were just black or white with a logo on, well, you wouldn't really notice them. But you do notice them you can notice them from the International Space Station. most of the football boots that players come out with wearing now. And I suppose from there it just seeped into the mainstream. And now everybody looks like they're in the blooming circus. But you know me, I never complain.
Whinging and whining and moaning.
0345 6060 973. York. Hello, Jan.
Hello, Nick. Jan. How are you?
I am super. Thanks for asking.
Very good. The other day, I read an article about smart wings. Did you know they existed?
Smart wings?
Rings. Put on your finger, you know, ring.
Oh, rings.
Mm.
Yes. Is that a good idea?
No. No, because I thought, when I'd read it, I thought, I sound a bit like a Luddite now, but I thought, do we really need all these gadgets, you know?
Yeah.
What is the point of them?
I don't know. I mean, they do things like tell you whether you've had a good night's sleep. I know exactly. Whether I've had a good night's sleep, for crying out loud. If I wake up and I can't put my shoes on, then I've had a bad night's sleep.
Yeah. You had a caller last week, didn't you, that said... her watch had told her she hadn't slept well.
Yeah.
and that made her anxious. Well, that's no good, is it?
Yeah, it doesn't seem to make much sense to me. I mean, unless you're... But it can't check your blood pressure because a ring can't do that. It could check your pulse, but so what?
I know. And I think this was... I read something else about a watch, and it said, set a reminder for when you should go to bed so you don't accidentally stay up too late. Now, have you ever accidentally stayed up too late?
Not by accident. Not without realising what I was doing.
Exactly.
No. Yeah.
I mean, it's just so crazy, isn't it?
It's just another way to get you to part with £300, Jan.
Yeah, I know.
It's just another thing that you think that other people have got, that your life will become better if you spend that kind of money, and you do spend the money, and you and your life is remains the blooming same, and then you look around for the next £300 or £1,000 thing to buy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, what next? I don't know.
Unless they're advertising with us, of course, in which case it is an excellent way to monitor your own health. And I really mean that.
But you can even get kettles, can't you, that are smart. Did you know that?
What's smart about a kettle? How could you improve the intelligence of a kettle?
Well, you can switch it on before you come in.
Why?
Well, that's exactly why.
Why would you want to do that? There's no such thing as a smart kettle. There can't be.
There is.
Why would... Definitely. How busy would you have to be?
I know.
That you have to pre-boil a kettle for it being ready on your arrival. I mean, for the time it takes you to open the front door and get there, and I don't
know. I mean, they only take a couple of minutes to boil, don't they?
Not even that. I mean, a kettle is a product that exists because boiling water the old-style way takes too long. Now the quicker way takes too long. That's just...
Well, I've
given up on the human race.
What? What they really want to do with kettles is make them less noisy.
Yeah. Why are they so noisy? Those and Harley Davidson. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. I switched my kettle on. I can't hear the radio. It's awful.
Yeah, you switch your kettle on. In the old days, you couldn't hear Concorde flying over. They made so much noise.
No, it is balmy, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
And I think you can get beds and mattresses now, can't you, that track your heart rate and breathing.
Yeah, I almost read an article about this. I saw the headline and then I couldn't be bothered reading anymore. The life started draining out of me. But all of these psycho tech bros apparently have smart beds that check whether they're... I've got no idea. What would a smart bed do?
Well, it tracks your heart rate, your breathing and your body movements.
Right, and if you stop breathing, then it alerts the authorities.
I don't know about that. But isn't it absolutely balmy? I don't know.
Yeah, the whole world's gone completely insane, Jan. It made much more sense when nobody knew anything, when there was no such thing as the internet, and you couldn't look stuff up, and everybody remained in blissful ignorance. God, wouldn't it be marvellous to be blissfully ignorant?
It would.
Yeah.
It was all so simple then, wasn't it?
It almost sounds like a song. It was all so simple then. Sing.
Who's that?
I've got no idea. I don't know, and I'm trying to forget that I ever started to try to sing that song. It was all so simple then. Sing!
Don't recognise it.
No, neither do I. It's a big tune. I've got orchestral accompaniment in my brain, Jan, but coming out of my mouth, it doesn't sound anything like it.
No. No, I wonder what it is. Got me thinking now.
Yeah, I know. Maybe if you had a smart ring, it would know.
Probably would. I better get one.
Yeah, that's right.
I think they're only about £400.
Yeah, £400. That's money well spent. All right. Thanks a lot, Jan. Cheers, my dear. 0345 6060 973. Natasha in East Sussex says, now that your bingo card is filling up, my Trump bingo card. Well, it's not filling up. It's almost completely full. There's another one. Actually, I mentioned two already that happened this week, but there's another one. I might come to that in a minute. She says, now that your bingo card is filling up, I've got a new event to add to your list. Mar-a-Lado will design his own logo and put it on flags, and everyone will be forced to fly them on government buildings or their front lawns. I'm not sure about that. I think even his most demented fans would be loath to give up the stars and stripes. Even those people might not do that. For the dear leader, I'm pretty sure that they wouldn't. 0345-6060-973. Text 84850. Email nicka@lbc.co.uk. If you're on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone. 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at midnight. Health officials in Gaza say dozens of people were killed following Israeli strikes during Saturday. President Trump has demanded the IDF ceases military action in the territory after Hamas declared it accepted certain elements of his peace plan for the Middle East, including the release of hostages. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been claiming the credit for this weekend's developments.
When I spoke directly to the families, we said we have never, ever forgotten you. We met with the families throughout the war. We saw their pain. We heard their suffering. We share their prayers.
This evening, Donald Trump has declared Israel has agreed to a withdrawal line for its forces in Gaza, which has also been put to Hamas. Greater Manchester Police has announced an 18-year-old woman and 43-year-old man arrested over Thursday's terrorist attack at a synagogue have been released with no further action. They've also been told they can hold another four people for five more days. The arrest figure from Saturday's London demonstration supporting the banned group Palestine Action has now risen to almost 500. Its organisers had been asked to cancel following Thursday's Manchester attack as a mark of respect towards the UK's Jewish communities. The Shadow Home Secretary, Chris Philp, has been telling LBC the demonstration should never have happened.
There are two reasons I say that. Firstly, out of respect for the families of those victims in Manchester of the appalling terrorist attack on Thursday, while they're grieving, I think proceeding with protests of this kind is completely wrong. And secondly, the police have said they don't have the capacity to both police the protest and also protect synagogues.
The Conservatives are to announce the creation of a new removals force by tasked with deporting 150,000 illegal migrants a year if they form the next government. They're due to give more details later on today during the party's conference week in Manchester. It's believed the force would be given sweeping new powers plus £1.6 billion to operate. An armed woman's been shot in the US city of Chicago by Border Patrol forces. The Department of Homeland Security says it happened during a face-off between protesters and federal immigration agents. It also says the woman who was injured drove herself to hospital. And the former Portsmouth, Sheffield Wednesday and Manchester City owner Milan Mrandaric has died at the age of 87. His family says he passed away at a Serbian hospital following a short illness. LBC weather continuing wet and very windy with gales in the far northeast of the UK overnight. Breezy elsewhere as well with clear spells developing. We'll see a low of around 9 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
And remember, darling, I don't work before 10 in the morning and never ever before 30 in the afternoon. I want to tell you all how happy I am to be back in the studio, making a picture again.
It's a radio show, dear. Helen texts, Hi, Nick, I think you're thinking of The Way We Were by Gladys Knight. That's right. Can it be that it was also simple then, or has time rewritten every line? If we had the chance to do it all again, tell me, would we? Could we?
No!
Wow, it's almost like Gladys Knight had burst into the studio and started regaling us, wasn't it? A little bit. Laura says, I won't bore you with the details, but it's been a heavy week. Please can you tell me about the light-hearted escapism podcast that you do? Yeah, I do one with Carol McGiffin.
Yeah.
It's called What's Your Problem with Nick and Carol?, in which Carol McGiffin and I try to solve people's problems. Now, the idea is you have to send us your problem. We're not mind readers. Send it to this address, nickandcarol@global.com. nickandcarol@global.com. And prepare for total satisfaction. Ask for it by name on an internet near you. What's your problem with Nick and Carol? There's about 350 episodes up there at the current counting. And it will just take you off to a happier place than, you know, all this constant misery that's just pouring all over us. So I do believe that you'll love it. Let's see now. Wanstead. Hello, Sophie.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for asking. Appreciate it.
It's phoning you is like going to the supermarket. You see, you go in for one thing and you come out with 10.
Yeah, that's how they get you.
I phoned to talk about two things, but there are a few more now. So the song you were singing is from one of my favourite films, The Way We Were.
Mm.
It was Barbara Streisand who sang it the first. It was on her album.
How do you know it was first, though?
She sang it first.
But how do you know that?
Because it's from one of my favourite films.
But how do you know that she sang it first, though?
Because I know.
Memory. You're using your memory.
Like the corners of my mind.
Right.
Misty watercolored memories. I love that song.
Misty watercolored memories. That sounds awful. Misty water. Who wants that?
I know, and Robert Redford, of course, died recently. I think he was just... He's in one of my other favourite films called The Natural, about a baseball player.
There's a film that I saw as a kid twice, and it was on TV probably in the 1970s, probably when it first came out. And I've never seen it since, and I've always wanted to, and it's got Robert Redford in it, it's got Zero Mostel and Elliot Gould. I mean, that is a pretty stellar lineup, particularly in the 1970s. Elliot Gould was a huge star, and Robert Redford has always been a huge star. And it never, ever, ever comes on TV. In fact, I tried to look up buying it the other day, and you cannot buy it as a physical product, and you cannot buy it as streaming. It's not on YouTube, it's not on Netflix, it's not anywhere. It's just got buried, and it's a great film.
It's so funny you said that. There's a picture, there's a film I've seen.
Hang on a minute. Mm-hmm. You didn't ask me what it was.
Oh, sorry. Was he a baseball player in it?
No.
Oh, okay. What was it?
You were not remotely interested. You were just letting me flap my gums until it was your turn to start speaking again. You weren't even listening, were you?
No, I thought you didn't know the name of the film.
I don't know why I bother. This is me bothering.
That's what all men say to their wives. I don't know why I bother.
I don't know why I bother. Why do I bother?
But what was the name of the film?
Oh, thanks for asking. It was called two things. In America, I think it was called The Hot Rock. And in this country, it was called How to Steal a Diamond in Four Uneasy Lessons.
Well, that's interesting because I saw a film years ago with Dwayne Johnson, and it is one of my, again, all-time favourite films.
Dwayne Johnson?
No, you have to hear me out.
The Rock?
It's called, and I never ever knew, I've never seen him in a film, I never knew he could do serious roles, and it's called The Gridiron Gang, and it makes me cry every single time I see it.
Is it about American football?
No, it's about American youth who are apprehended in a young person's prison.
Well, don't tell us, but Gridiron, that's American football, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes,
That is about American football.
He starts up a team, but that's incidental.
Oh, okay.
It's based on a true story, and at the end of the film, you see all the original, the real people that the characters are based on. And
right.
I found it last Christmas on YouTube, but it was all the film was presented in 5-minute slots. So I texted it to myself.
What do you mean in 5-minute slots? Oh, that sounds illegal. Somebody chopped it up in order
really?
To. Well, I don't know, but it doesn't sound very legal. You found it on YouTube.
Oh no, the FBI are going to be at my door.
This all goes on your permanent record, Sophie.
No, because this is what I was going to ring you about. Oh, the word you were looking for was irreverent when you were talking about, what's his name, Kenny, the comedian, the really clever man.
Yeah, Kenny Everett.
Yes, you said he was funny and you were looking for a word, this irreverent.
That's not the word. You fail this test.
But the other thing is, I'm sorry, I'm feeling inadequate now. But the other thing is, oh no, there were two other things.
Yes.
So the main thing is Trump. And Nick, I cannot believe what I saw on an MSNBC, news channel.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a report about the ICE soldiers, personnel, I don't know what you call them, and how they were apprehending Americans.
What's happening in America right now is, I mean, if it's not ringing bells for people who watch the History Channel, then I think you need to wake up. It's happening
exactly.
Right in front of our faces, and people are just letting it happen. People in the American media, American journalists, it's as though they're trying to fit the round peg of what they're seeing into the square hole of normalcy. And it doesn't fit, but they keep trying to do it anyway. They just keep saying things like, oh, well, he can't do that because it's illegal. Yeah, he just did it. Write that up.
And Nick, absolutely. But that's really, I was shocked and horrified. It's so upsetting. And the way they're armed with guns and God knows what not. But the thing is, the biggest irony, this is the country with a constitution, a bill of rights, and now this nincompoop is going to head the peace plan in the Middle East. When he's got all this going on, he's got domestic terrorism with the guns and the school shootings.
Yeah.
The world has gone mad. Dystopian.
Yeah.
It's dystopian.
Completely. It's like we're living in a sort of a nightmare film. Every day you turn on the news and it appears to get worse. I mean, these goons are going around in unmarked vans. They've got masks on. They're armed to the teeth with not just guns, but they've got chemical weapons that they're using on people. And we just heard in the news, there goes another of my Trump bingo card entries. That's gone. People, Trump's goons shooting into crowds of protesters.
It's so shocking. My heart just fell when I watched this news report. Now, I want to carry on talking about this, but if just in case you don't have time, I didn't know this. There's going to be a new Bruce Springsteen film out on the 24th, and I've watched the trailer. And it is Oscar-worthy, honestly. It looks amazing.
The trailer is Oscar-worthy. Come on.
No, the film looks Oscar-worthy. It looks absolutely amazing.
Right.
And it's called Deliver Me From Nowhere, I think it's called.
Hmm.
It looks absolutely brilliant. But when I see it, I won't give out any spoilers. But Donald Trump...
Hang on a minute. I normally don't like those kind of things that somebody impersonating somebody that you know. And I've seen a still of it. Now, I can't remember what the actor's name is, but he is pretending to be Bruce Springsteen in an earlier guise, right? And I didn't see the Queen film for that reason, and I didn't see the Elton John film for that reason, and I just think that I won't be able to get past the feeling that that's not him. I just won't be able to get into it. But there is one film that I approached with trepidation, but I watched anyway, and it was absolutely marvellous. And that's the Laurel and Hardy film with that English actor.
Which one?
I can't remember. But anyway, he was very, very good in
Colin
it.
Colin Firth. Colin Firth.
No, I think he's a... is he the guy who played Alan Partridge? What's his name?
Oh, I don't know. I don't have a TV, Nick.
Right,
as you
okay.
know, I'm always listening to LBC.
Well, I've never actually seen Alan Partridge, but I think it was him. Anyway, the Olive and the Lauren Hardy film is a very, very good thing indeed, and I got past my feeling of that's not them almost straight away.
Well, I can understand that, because sometimes you're too afraid to watch a film of someone you admire. And the one that ruined it for me, because he is the greatest of all time, Muhammad Ali, Will Smith, didn't have the charm, the personality in his depiction of Muhammad Ali. Yeah.
But he's got a pretty good right hook, though.
In that way, he was okay, but I just feel like they should have chosen someone else. But
right.
About Trump, I'm just lost for words. And I really wonder.
Apparently
what
not.
Well, not. Yes, maybe not. Oh, the other thing, Rose, your caller Rose,
yeah.
is absolutely, I think, my favourite caller. I could listen to her all day. I really could.
Right.
She's got a radio voice.
Well, she tells a good tale. Yes.
She really does.
Yeah.
So she's... Hello, Rose. But,
Hello.
Hello.
Ozzy, one more thing. I promise, the last
and
thing.
And finally.
I found out today that Hamilton, because it was the 10th anniversary, I'm so disappointed I missed this.
Hmm.
That it was showing in cinemas about a week ago.
Well, it's even worse than that, Sophie. They showed it on TV.
No.
Yeah.
And I don't have one.
Well, they showed it on TV during COVID. There was a period when the theatre, I don't know whether it was just to amuse us or whether they were actually making money from it, and because they couldn't get people into the theatre during the COVID pandemic. And they actually showed Hamilton on television. They showed the theatrical production, probably from America, I guess. With that guy. And I lasted 3 minutes before I switched it off. I just thought, oh, this is awful. But maybe I was just in the wrong mood.
Well, The Federalist Papers is one of my favourite books. I know I shouldn't really admit that, but that's why I wanted to watch it. But,
Well, don't pay attention to me on this score, because millions of people all over the world have seen it and enjoyed it. But I just thought, oh, no, they're rapping. It's a no from me.
Okay. I'll keep my enthusiasm for
right.
the Bruce Springsteen film. But the other thing is...
No, wait a minute. Crazy. Hang on. You just said that was the last thing.
No, it's related to Trump. I would love to hear from an American a justification from any parallel universe that could perhaps justify why Americans voted this
way. I'll tell you in one short sentence. They didn't want to vote for a black woman. The end.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You've got it in one.
And Donald. Yeah, all right. Okay, thanks a lot, Sophie. And Donald Trump's approval rating just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. It's absolutely extraordinary. They hate him in America. And the more they hate him, the more unpleasant and venal he becomes. I've got the ratings right in front of me. They quantify it by either disapproval or approval. And the two lines crossed pretty much the moment that he got elected. And people approved of him before he got elected the second time. And just after March, I guess, so he had a month. And it's been widening ever since. The disapproval numbers are huge. At the same time in his presidency, Joe Biden's approval rating was -3. At the same time, Trump's approval rating is -11. You remember Obak Arama, don't you? Well, at the same time in his presidency as now, his approval rating was +13. People loved him, LUV. Trump's approval rating is -11. Obama's was +13. Trump's -11. Obak Arama.
This is LBC.
The Monopoly game at McDonald's is back. There's over £2 million worth of cash prizes to be won. And a chance to get your hands on some epic prizes. Go on, it's your go. 18 plus, UK, ends 21st of October. Selected menu items, app may be required. May depend on winning moment. See mcdrules.co.uk.
For stunning retirement apartments to buy or rent, search McCarthy Stone or call 0800 153 3055.
You know the drill. End of series, credits roll, the next ITVX show begins. But how can you move on when everyone's still talking about it? The hack is making headlines with critics. It's the explosive true story of the British phone hacking scandal. The Guardian says it's this year's Mr. Bates. And what about David Tennant and Robert Carlyle? They're on fire! No wonder the iPaper calls it TV dynamite in its five-star review. Some shows end at the credits. Others keep everyone talking. Stream the hack. Free on ITVX.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott.
Hang about, Nick. Listen, now, hang on. What I'm trying to say to you is this, Nick, right?
Chris in Stubbington says, hi, Nick, winter is coming. The clocks are going to go back.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's coming very, very quickly. It's the end of this month, isn't it? The clocks are going to go back.
Damn it!
Like it's not dark enough already. But, you know, I don't like to complain about that kind of thing.
Whinging and whining and moaning.
He says, winter is coming, the clocks will go back, and everybody's energy bills have gone up because of the price cap. Why is our energy so expensive? Or is our money just low? My bill for last winter was £2,100 for a one-bed bungalow.
What?
Blimey. Really? Have you got a roof? Wow, that's a lot. Why are our bills so high? I don't know. I mean, I keep reading that we've got some of the most expensive electricity in the world in this country. And I think it's just rip off Britain. I think that we allow them to do it because we have a history of allowing people to rip us off. You know, going right back to Margaret Thatcher that took all of the things that used to be ours and sold them for a quick profit to close personal friends and donors. Or if not directly to them, those are the people that ended up with them, because we certainly didn't. That's why the Norwegians are so blooming rich, because they were smart enough not to elect Margaret blooming Thatcher. And why is that energy so expensive? I don't know. I just looked up a famous energy provider, and last year they made $8.9 billion. Everything's in dollars. $8.9 billion. The previous year, $13.8 billion. The year before that, $27.7 billion. So that might be an indication as to why. It's all about their money, honey. Yeah, nobody's stopping them doing it. You know, during the COVID pandemic, I think the energy bill in France went up by 4%. Ours went up by 100%. In France, their bill went up by 4%. Ours, 100%. Why? Because we haven't got anybody in our corner who are fighting for us. It's like, you know, the more I think about it, and this is not a pleasant thought, the more it appears to me that the human race is like the Matrix. We're essentially being used as batteries by an increasingly small number of staggeringly rich individuals whose fortune just keeps growing exponentially, while ours, coincidentally, keeps getting lower and lower. And we're just on a treadmill. We're running furiously, getting nowhere. It's almost as though they keep us alive just so that we will be hungry enough and desperate enough to work for nothing at all, in order that their profits keep skyrocketing. And, of course, once robots take over,
affirmative,
then our use for them will disappear. And then what? I'm sure it's not going to be very good for, you know, the little people.
The little people.
Not leprechauns. But that is a pretty awful way of thinking about it, isn't it? They use us like batteries, essentially from the moment that we can work, whether we're... they just... It's just sort of flog us to death for a mere pittance, just enough so that we don't starve, that we remain useful. And they just suck all of the money that is created by our work and disappear it to some screen on an island in an uninhabited building for tax purposes. They're just a cloud of mist for tax purposes. And that's why we can't afford anything, is because all of the money that used to swirl positively about the economy just drains out of the country now, and it just goes, well, God knows where. Who knows where it goes? I mean, the Bloomberg Index, I keep talking about this, but it is indicative. Bloomberg Billionaire Index. Here we go. Let's see how much these people have made in the last day or so, shall we? One moment. Oh, God. I really must get used to working this phone. Right, here we go. The Bloomberg Index. Okay, these are the richest people in the world, how much they made to year on year, and how much they made yesterday. Elon Musk, in the year to date, made £16,000 million. He's already the world's richest human being, and he made £16,000 million this year. Larry Ellison, the world's second richest person, made £153,000 million. £153,000 million. Mark Zuckerberg, that moon-faced creep who runs Facebook, this year made £42,000 million. Jeff Bezos out of Amazon, £4,000 million. Warren Buffett yesterday made £1,000 million yesterday. And you wonder why you haven't got any money and why the money that you do have doesn't buy anything anymore. Well, there it is right there. I mean, that money isn't being invented. It doesn't come from nowhere. And you could say, well, that's just that's paper money. They don't have it in cash. Yeah, but they could sell the paper. They could realize that money on a daily basis. I mean, if he made £1,000 million a day, he could take all that out and build a house with actual money. And we wonder why life's such a struggle, why we don't seem to be getting anywhere. And that's it, right there. It's because the human race is being used as batteries, essentially, just to keep the world ticking over so that these people can keep making more and more and more. God, it's infuriating. And the answer you'll get to that when you tell people this, you explain what is happening, why they are so angry at everything, and their anger is being directed at damp people arriving in small boats, a couple of thousand of those. It's not people who are arriving in small boats that are a problem. It's the people who are arriving on private jets. And the response that you'll always get is, oh, well, that's the politics of envy, that is. We've been trained not to question them, not to question our place in the world, not to question where the wealth that we make on a daily basis, with our work and our own hands and the efforts of our brains, we've been trained not to question where it goes. We've been trained not to wonder why we can't afford the things that we used to be able to afford when we were small and our parents worked. And it doesn't seem to us as though even both parents used to go out to work. Traditionally, it was just the dad who did. Mum would stay home and look after the kids. And Dad didn't necessarily have a particularly well-paid job. It was a perfectly ordinary job, but he could afford to buy his own house and have a car in the driveway and afford to have holidays and go out for a meal every now and again. And, can you afford to do that now? Of course not. Why? It's because these people make thousands of millions of pounds a day. Where do you think it comes from? Oh, it's infuriating. Eventually, maybe the human race will wake up. I'm not holding my breath, though. I bet you weren't expecting that to complete an answer, Chris. Why is our energy so expensive? It's the same reason that everything is so expensive relative to our earnings. And people in America complain, but they earn, on average, at least one and a half, if not twice as much as we earn. And their cost of living is lower than us. rip off Britain. I mean, it really is, it's painful. Now my phone is speaking to me. Apps slated for deep sleep. God, wouldn't that be marvellous? If we could slate ourselves for deep sleep, and then, you know, and our brains would be plugged into the matrix, and then we'd think happy thoughts. Terrific. Bring it on. Dave in Paul says, did you see they are remaking Highlander next year with Henry Cavill and Russell Crowe? No, I didn't see the first one. I couldn't care less. John Wick, the director, and original Queen soundtrack. God, it gets worse and worse. Should be great. What do you think? Says Dave in Paul. I've given you a full and complete answer. I tried watching that John Wick, the first one, and I only lasted about 10 minutes on that. It was just Keanu Reeves walking through buildings, shooting everyone. There didn't seem to be a story at all. So I thought, this is not for me. And this says, I've just discovered they are remaking Murder, She Wrote with Jamie Lee Curtis playing Jessica Fletcher. Do you think Meghan Markle is responsible for this abomination? Almost certainly, yeah. Thanks a lot, Meghan Markle.
No!
You see what you've done? 0345 6060 973. You can text 84850. Email nicka@lbc.co.uk. If you're on WhatsApp, it's the same number as the phone. 0345 6060 973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10, Nick Abbott, LBC. It's 12:30, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
The Conservatives are promising to create a new removals force if they form the next government. They're due to say it will have £1.6 billion at its disposal and will be tasked with deporting 150,000 illegal migrants every year. The arrest figure from Saturday's London demonstration supporting the banned group Palestine Action has now risen to nearly 500. Its organisers had been asked to cancel following Thursday's Manchester attack as a mark of respect towards the country's Jewish communities. And parliamentary elections in the Czech Republic have been won by a populist party run by a billionaire. Andrej Babiš has rejected claims the victory by his ANO party will make the nation a less reliable partner in the EU and NATO. LBC weather continuing wet and very windy with gales in the far northeast of the UK overnight. Breezy elsewhere with clear spells developing and a low of 9 degrees.
LBC. Across the UK, people like Phil face their toughest challenges alone.
It's a pain that I feel like the body can't comprehend losing a child because you are not supposed to outlive your children.
LBC's charity, Make Some Noise, is here to support people like Phil.
It's kind of a family that you never wanted to be a part of and you would never choose to be a part of it. But now you're in it, you don't know what you'd do without.
You can change lives. Donate now at makesomenoise.com. Proudly supported by Furniture Village.
Angela Rippon, what are you doing here?
I've come to tell you about using energy flexibly, Albert.
Flexibly?
Yes, smart meter owners could get rewarded for moving their energy use, like doing the laundry at off-peak times.
So I don't need to do the splits?
No, Albert, nobody wants to see that.
Get rewarded for using energy flexibly, only with a smart meter. Search Get a Smart Meter today.
Eligibility and availability vary. Consumer action required. Reward schemes and tariffs available to selected customers from selected suppliers.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
What in blazes goes on inside that head of yours?
Oh, you know, it's mostly thoughts about the iniquity baked into the system. That's all. This text says, hi, Nick. By any chance, does Nadeem Zahawi know the total number of late-night talk shows left in the USA?
And one?
More than that.
Two?
More than that.
6 million.
It's about 6 million. 0345-6060-973. Tooting. Hello, Jan.
Hi, good evening, Nick.
Yes,
good morning,
Jan.
Rather. Yes, I'm bringing up on something a bit... What I found a bit uplifting this week was the Green Party, the new leader of the Green Party. They come together and he's is it Zach Polanski? Were in a conference. They've got something like 80,000 members, and they like for the first time they think they may stand a chance because look, all the Labour's in disarray. Starmer's not popular, and I know you've said it many times, and I've always supported Labour, but I am concerned about about the state of the party in a way, because Starmer's just not. They're not saying what they, as you said, they're not promoting, or they're not letting people know what they have achieved.
It's almost as though they're embarrassed to boast.
Yeah, and it looks like the way is clear. Like, but I doubt Baden, what's her name?
Badenoch.
Yeah, I mean, there's a plot to get her out, I think, by with Jenrick, and all they need is 36 letters. They're getting some letters to get her out, but though she's going to be leading the conference, but it's like all the main parties are in disarray except for Farage. But it's like it seems good.
Well, I'm not sure that party is not in disarray. I mean, they make a good fist of trying to, distract us by waving their arms about. But I think disarray is all about. But I do agree that this new guy from the Green Party seems to be a bit of fresh air. And, interestingly, he has the TV companies are actually putting him on screen. They're actually giving airtime to a politician that isn't Nigel Farage. Can you believe that?
Yeah, which is good, because I mean, the thing is, he's actually having a go at Labour for its being not so democratic in wanting to be authoritarian, like stop these protests and free speech, and which is very. I mean, how would you? What's the cornerstone of British democracy? You know what I mean? Free speech, liberty, peace, rule of law, racial harmony. You know what I mean? And like this is that exact Polanski. Mm. I don't think he's related to the film director.
No,
he isn't. But he looks amazing. But he's saying that.
I said no, confidently. I don't actually know whether that's true, but I really don't think so. But no, I think he says a lot of good things, and I think he's making waves. He's actually sort of elbowed his way into the political mainstream, and people are paying attention to him and the groovy greenies.
He's criticising the Labour and everyone for being authoritarian and not really... supporting free speech and liberty, the traditional values.
There does seem to be a certain streak of authoritarianism with the current regime, yes, but not as much as with any of the other parties, except possibly the Lib Dems and the Greenies now.
I mean, it's interesting. I've always wondered what the Green Party stood for, really, because they have not... But he's saying he stands... He's for the politics of hope, whereas Farage...
Politics of grievance. You're all miserable, and it's their fault. It's those people's fault. Yeah, which is attractive. You know, if your life, for all the reasons that I was hyperventilating about before the before the 8:30 news, people's lives haven't gone quite as well as they'd hoped, because essentially their lives have been turned into batteries for the benefits of the people that have all of the money and are desperate for more, which is just weird. I mean, if you Jan had £1,000,000,000, would you be spending all day long trying to get more? No.
Well, no. I would give it away. I would give it like Bill Gates used to give away quite a lot of his wealth, didn't he? To
various causes.
Various causes. But people like Trump, he's like wants to get it all for himself. But Nick, can I just mention something that has really shocked me about Trump? I was gonna stay with this the Green Party, but I think that really lifted me up this week to think that because it's all a bit depressing. The
right,
parties are
a positive noise coming from a politician in this country. It's actually really refreshing, and I think that he is going to do really well for that party, and I think their numbers are must already be up just from.
My vote when I find out a bit more about them. But
well, I voted for them in the past, and I may do so again.
They've been looking for a new leader, haven't they? Then they've got him in him.
Yeah.
But Nick, what shocks me about Trump is the way he's going to sack so many federal workers that are in Democrats.
They can't wait to do that.
No, can he really get away with this?
He can get away with everything he's done.
He's a million.
He's getting away with everything he's done so far. So yes, he can get away with it because nobody is prepared to say no to him, particularly his own party, who appear to have sold their soul to the devil.
What happened to them? Look, he's saying he's going to suspend the pay for 2 million federal workers.
Yeah. Well, that's...
But they don't have a national health thing out there. What are they going to do? Surely there's going to be a revolution in a civil war in America with
him. Well, I don't know. I mean, his fans are the ones with all the guns. So there's that problem there. But you would think that they would now have a lot of time to rue their decision to vote for Donald Trump.
And look, the latest I've picked up on as well as Trump, he's targeting Chicago by freezing their funds and because they're Democratic.
Yeah.
And or threatening to get the National Guard.
Yeah. Well, he's doing it already. Yeah. And that's illegal too, and he's doing it anyway. And the American media, they seem to be completely asleep, like numb to it. I don't know why the American media aren't stepping up, because this is their moment. But they're not doing anything at all. I mean, it's really quite infuriating reading the New York Times and the Washington Post and the LA Times and all these newspapers that are supposed to be, you know, the great organs of information and the campaigning in America. And they're all just twiddling their thumbs, telling us that, oh, no, don't worry about it. That's the thing that he just did and got away with is illegal. So he won't be able to do that. Yeah, he just did it. It's unbelievable what's happening in America. A painted clown off the telly took over the world's most powerful and rich political party easily. He just waddled in the room and they all fell to the floor in front of him. And now he's done the exact same thing to America twice. Like they didn't have enough the first time around. Well, now it's Trump on steroids. Hey, America, are you great again yet? Thanks a lot, Jan. 0345-6060-973. Hackney, Richard.
Hello, Nick.
Richard.
Yes, you... Oh, why is our energy so much more expensive here?
Don't ask.
In front? I mean, I called in to talk about cassette tapes. But,
oh, yeah.
I mean, when you went off onto your... You know,
a little bit of a rant.
I was like, yes, can we? I mean, I'm here for this conversation. We can do this for the next hour. The reason we paid 100% extra and France paid 4% extra is because the biggest electricity company in the UK is called EDF.
Right. Which is?
Stands for
French.
Energy de France.
Mm.
So we sold them our energy.
Yeah.
And they charged us double so they could subsidise their own people.
In France, yeah. We sold them everything. We sold everything that we have got. And I imagine that the Labour Party are looking around seeing what else can be sold, because they're in such a hole that they have precious little other choice. Local councils are selling off buildings. You've got parks being sold for development, and the developments that they're being allowed to build are just... it's an absolute national scandal. You take a train... as I did just recently, up the country, and beside the railway tracks, there's development after development after development. All these tiny, red, angry-looking little houses.
Angry-looking buildings, yes.
They're all standing in fields, their fists clenched, look like they're screaming. They're horrible, and they're the same wherever you go. You're just out of London, they look exactly the same as 300 miles up the line. They're identical.
And
why are they being allowed to build them like that?
They're so bitter as well. It's like the windows.
Tiny.
They have tiny little windows.
Yeah.
They have no storage space.
At all.
They have ceilings that are about 6 inches above your head.
And you know why the windows are so small? It's because bricks are cheaper than glass. That's
but
true.
But you know why the ceilings are so low? Because if you take out two bricks of every row, you can lower the ceilings and you've saved yourself, I don't know, the cost of 24
right.
bricks.
Yeah.
So you've built something which lasts for 75 to 100 years,
right.
but you've made 10 quid on that building.
Yes.
The fact that it's ugly, the fact that it doesn't do what it was built to do, doesn't matter.
It's extraordinary that they're being allowed to get away with it. And that is a, that's a failure of government. That is. It's a failure of the government to say you are not allowed to scar our country permanently just so that you can make a little bit more money. I mean, for crying out loud, these major building companies, they make hundreds of millions of pounds a year. All they have to do is just forego a tiny bit of their profits, but they're not even prepared to do that. No, they build their ugliest, the most charmless developments that nobody in their right mind would want to live in, except that those are the only things that they can afford.
Well, I'm going to tie this back to something that you said, which is that we're being treated like batteries from the Matrix.
Yeah.
And this is what we're being shoved into. It's a battery charger.
Right.
It's not a house to live in. It's a battery charger.
Right.
And this is what I hear a lot of, because do you know what we've started talking about recently? We've stopped using the word unemployed. You know what we say now? We say economically inactive.
Hmm.
Like, you don't wait on the economy. Therefore, you are inactive. Therefore, yes. You have zero value.
Right.
And now, when was the last time you heard a politician talk about quality of life?
Almost never. It doesn't even register.
No. This is insane. I used to laugh about this 30 years ago. I was with two economists, flatting with two economists.
Hmm.
And they started talking about something which they called externalities. An externality is something that is in the human experience but has no economic value.
Right.
Like enjoyment.
Yeah, everything that makes life worth living. Yes.
Yes, exactly. And you couldn't mention... And we had a good laugh about this, you know, that one day everything would just be measured in value. And how we laughed at that idea. We're not laughing now.
Well, I keep going on about the World Happiness Index, and I know that people they're sort of rolling their eye. Oh, happiness! You know, like who cares about that? Well, what's the point of like trudging through life in order to make rich people even richer if you're not getting any pleasure from it? What's the point? So, you know, the World Happiness Index shows that it's the same countries over and over and over again. It's the ones that tax their citizens a bit more, and it's that they provide a great safety net, and they house them in places that are, you know, a decent size for a human being, not the size for a cat.
But if I go to somebody and say, listen, this is the deal. I'm going to tax you £1,000 more a year, maybe £2,000 more a year.
Yeah.
But out of that, we're going to halve your energy bills, your gas bills. We're going to build houses that your kids can live in. We're going to make sure the NHS actually works.
Right.
We're going to cut your transport. You're going to save that money.
And people, and I tell you what people, I tell you what people would say. They'd say, "No, I prefer the money in my pocket,
my pocket, because so I can give it to the billionaires that I choose to give it to."
Right, exactly. Yeah. It makes no sense. I mean, you know, it's almost as though I'm trying to find another word for stupid, but it's so the human race is so stupid. It's almost as though we deserve what we get.
We're putting it into everything now. Everything is just valued by the amount of money. Like a film, how good is a film?
Mm.
Well, that how film much, must be good.
How much money did it make?
200 million in its first weekend.
And that's why they keep making films about robots that change shape.
Exactly. Oh, that painting, that must be a good painting because it got 17 million at auction.
Right.
Therefore, it is good art.
Yes.
Whether, I mean, would you hang it on your wall? Well, of course not. I've got a little bit of humour.
Yeah. This is not
know,
why you called. You called about cassettes, right?
I called about cassettes. Should we go into cassettes?
Yes.
The thing you were thinking of was a C-120.
Well, no, it was because I was thinking of the song, and it goes C-30, C-60, C-90, go. A C-120 was what you used when you didn't mind the tape getting jammed in the machine. Yes.
And now anybody under the age of 40 years old can just tune out for right. 2 seconds. You'd have to stick a biro into the cogs and wind. And even if you were successful...
There's always been a crease.
It never really worked.
Always a crease in the tape, yeah.
Yeah. But the question was, were you using chromium dioxide tapes?
Of course I was. Not that I noticed that it made any difference, but, you know, you get the most expensive one you could.
And are you sure that you switched the thing on your ghetto blaster from normal tape to chromium dioxide?
Yeah, just as much as I pressed the button marked Dolby. Yeah.
Do you think that button was wired to up to any... Do you remember when computers first came out and there was a little button on the side which said turbo?
No.
Now,
I don't.
There was a little button just under the on switch which said turbo.
Turbo?
Yeah,
turbo. Are you sure that wasn't for the fan?
It might have been, because
maybe,
it said nothing else.
Right.
So I think chromium dioxide and the computer turbo, they're the same button. Basically,
yeah.
Anyway.
It just makes you feel as though you've got some sort of control when you actually don't.
You're getting a little bit more bang for your buck.
Yeah. Hey, Richard, I'm going to have to go, but thanks for that. 0345 6060 973 LBC.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Clive Bull.
Kemi Badenoch is pledging to create a new removals force to detain and deport 150,000 people a year. Is this direction going to save the Conservative Party?
Clive Bull on LBC.
The Monopoly game at McDonald's is back. Play today with the Philly Cheese Stack, so you can enjoy two beef patties, crispy grilled onions, and a melted cheddar cheese sauce. Go on, it's your go. From 11 a.m. until the 21st of October. Participating in restaurants. Subject to availability. App may be required. 18 plus. UK. See mcdrules.co.uk.
I'm telling you, raise taxes. That's how.
Cut spending. Less waste. More sense.
Move north. Get more for your money.
Until winter hits your heating bill.
Fair.
Up to 9.13% annual return. We all agree that's strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard to ignore.
Cufflink. Auto-invest property-backed from £500. Visit cufflink.com. That's K-U-F-L-I-N-K. Register your interest today. Your capital is at risk. Tax rules apply to IF ISAs and may be subject to change. Cufflink is authorised and regulated by the FCA.
Ooh. At Lidl, we speak ghost. This one's saying you can get 20% off a monstrous range of Halloween costumes with Lidl Plus. Get sorted before they vanish. Lidl, more to value. 18 plus GB only while stocks last. Offer ends 15th of October. Terms apply. See lidl.co.uk/LPTV.
Welcome our new bookworms to the club. Now, do you read traditional books or e-books?
Oh, real books.
Traditional, oh. Always.
Yes, quite.
I read e-books.
Oh,
I adjust it so the font's huge.
Oh, they make large font books.
Think bigger. Imagine Moby Dick all cuddled up with a book. His font size.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Maybe it's time for varifocals. At Specsavers, get 2-for-1 varifocal glasses from £110. Conditions and exclusions apply. See online for details.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
We are running late. Let's press on, see what we got. Who's been waiting the longest? Rickmansworth. Hello, Sarah.
Hey, Nick.
Sarah.
Right, so I would like to thank you because the title for, like, the whole vibe tonight, well, you've been really throwing out a lot of truths, okay? But what I want to say is that the line is quite yogic because, like, where attention goes, energy flows. And I don't think I've ever heard a radio host, like, literally flying the flag going, people are just letting it happen. Like, it's all these aspects about, like, I was saying this to my neighbour tonight. You know, like, it's the idea, you know, debating, right? So you throw the hot potato, it's like, ooh. But I think even with politics now, you throw the hot potato, they just let it drop. And they look at you like, are you mad? As though we're even going to answer. And it's a form of gaslighting. And if we don't stand up for the higher good, seriously, we are going to turn into robots. And I don't want to turn into robot. And I don't want my 2-year-old godson to turn into a robot.
Well,
but we need...
Yes.
You know,
just, sorry to interrupt, but just the mention of the word robot, I mean, this is what was in the back of my mind as when I went on my unhinged rant, and it's that this is the situation as it is now. you know, we're running and running and running and running and staying in the same place, just desperately trying to work. When people are doing two and three jobs and they're getting nowhere, they're just about surviving, which is, you know, exactly where they want you. They want you in debt and just about surviving. But the problem is... The problem is, what's around the corner is going to make almost all of us extra for their necessities. We won't have any jobs to do anymore. All of those like drudge jobs that most of us do are going to be done by robots. They're going to be done by computer chips. It'll be a small box that blinks in a cupboard. And then what?
I think it's just bringing it back to the basics, like health as well, right? And Elon Musk is a robot who's addicted to ketamine, right? And I honestly, I used to live in LA, like my ex, his client was Elon, right? And they're all living on toxic positivity.
Okay. I don't know whether he's a robot or that is addicted to ketamine. I mean, he looks like a robot. I don't know whether he's addicted to ketamine or not. I'm not sure that he's a robot. Is he a robot?
Affirmative.
Yeah, he may actually be a robot. But thanks for that, Sarah. Gotta go. 0345-6060-973. Belsize Park. Judy.
Hello.
Judy.
All this... You've been naming names, so I can name the same names, but you've been complaining about people that do Facebook and Amazon and all these phenomenally wealthy people.
Yeah.
And I know that even if they didn't earn another halfpenny, it still actually, madly enough, would matter to them because they would like to watch it coming in.
Yes.
And it's our fault. Stop using Facebook. Stop buying things from Amazon. Don't go to the very well-known American, you didn't name it, so I won't, coffee bar house that doesn't pay any income tax.
Yeah.
And don't buy the cars made by the person that you
are completely
mentioned.
Right. We feel powerless, but we are the people with all of the power. I've said this loads of times on this show. At some point, the internet will be actually used for something positive. People will decide that one company or another has gone too far. And they'll say, right, you know what, I'm not going to buy their product anymore.
Yes.
And if it's an oil company, then you just simply drive past that petrol station and you go to the one down the road. And
but
if everybody did it, then that oil company would go out of business in a month.
But why do we just phone you and complain? Why do we not actually take action?
Well, my theory is that we will do anything. We will give up anything, including all of our rights and freedoms, for a small convenience.
Then we've only got ourselves to blame.
Absolutely. It is all our fault.
But I get annoyed because I do boycott all these things. But I also have another thing that I've discovered, and it will come up again in the budget because it did in the last one. They never seem to have anything that adversely affects a member of the government.
Who's they?
The government.
No, you said they don't.
I mean... Sorry, it's my terrible English grammar. When we have a budget, the budget never seems to adversely affect a member of the government.
No.
Ever. And you're talking about these awful houses. None of the members of the government live in any of those. And I tell you what I would do. I would make the designer of those little houses live in one of them.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it was so depressing going up the country on a train the other day because, I mean, I don't want to hash it over again, but all of those developments are precisely the same. All
yes.
Tiny, mean, little, angry-looking red houses, forlorn and desolate, right next to each other. And you can see that they've got barely a window to look out of. They can't have any cupboards. We have the smallest homes... The new build homes in Europe in this country. Why? Because the successive governments allow them to get away with it.
But no member of the government lives in one of them.
No.
And none of the architects or designers of those houses
will be living in one.
Believe me, Judy, no architect has come within 1,000 miles of any one of those homes.
Right. Well, that's it. So it's all really within our own hands, and we're not bothering.
Exactly, yeah.
Then we should stop complaining.
Well, I think we're not bothering for several reasons, one of which is that we get all of our information from the websites of a handful of unbelievably rich people, some of whose names I've mentioned. You know, people complain about the concentration of ownership of, you know, traditional media in the hands of a few people, like the Murdochs and so on. But it's much worse than that with social media, because there's hardly anybody, and they've got the entire world looking at their websites.
These
moon-faced psycho tech bros who are taking over the world, and we will soon become extraneous to their needs. And then what?
Well, I can barely turn on a computer.
Right.
I don't have a mobile phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I manage perfectly well.
Right. Well, you'll be the only one left alive, Judy. It'd be your responsibility to keep the world going. Just you. And I wish you the best of luck. And finally, this text says, I'm listening in the UK, but an hour and a half behind. Can you speak a bit slower till I catch up? If only I'd read that earlier, then I would have done it. But now you'll never catch up. If you missed any of today's show, then it does get put up the internet as a podcast. It's called Nick Abbott of the Whole Show Podcast. It's on Global Player or the LBC app. It's exclusive to those two things. That's what to ask for, Nick Abbott, the Whole Show Podcast. The idea is we take the news and most of the ads out, mostly, which means it's quicker to listen to, which will give you more time to contemplate our existence on this earth. And needs improvement. I'll be back tonight at 10 with my Abnormal Normal show, coming up at 4 on LBC, Early Breakfast with James Hansen. But first, here's Clive Ball.
Nick, thank you. After the news, ahead of the Conservative Party conference, Kemi Badenoch is pledging to create a new removals force to detain and deport 150,000 people a year, she says. The force would be modelled on the US Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, otherwise known as ICE. Is this direction going to save the Conservative Party? And a think tank has concluded that more than 1 million workers will end up with more secure jobs thanks to the government's forthcoming employment rights bill, which will make it harder to fire people and outlaw zero-hours contracts. Do you think workers in the UK need more protection, or could this backfire? That and much more after the news at 1 on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock, the Conservatives are promising to create a new removals force if they form the next government. They're due to say it will have a £1.6 billion budget and would look to deport 150,000 illegal migrants a year. The Tories have already announced they would remove the UK from the European Convention on Human Rights to combat small boat crossings if they come to power. The former Conservative MP Alexander Stafford has been telling LBC he believes the party is making the right noises.
We are now at last having a serious adult conversation about who we want to live in our country. And if people break certain laws, they surely shouldn't be allowed to stay here. And no piece of paper should tell them whether they should be allowed to stay in this country. But I think the fact this document has taken, coming up to a year worth of research and writing really shows the in-depth way Kemi and his team has actually looked at the issues.
And there'll be more on this next with Clive Bull here on LBC. Jewish community leaders in the UK have criticised an Israeli government politician for inviting the right-wing activist known as Tommy Robinson to visit. Its Minister for Combating Anti-Semitism says he will be proud to host him later on this month, but the Board of Deputies of British Jews and the Jewish Leadership Council says Robinson represents the very worst of Britain. Two of the people being held over this week's terrorist attack at a synagogue in Manchester have been released by detectives. Greater Manchester Police say they will face no further action. More now from LBC's Holly Harris.
The pair are an 18-year-old woman and a 43-year-old 43-year-old man. Tonight's announcements come on the same evening. Officers investigating Thursday's deaths outside the synagogue in Crumpsall said they'd been given more time to question four other people being held. They're two men, aged 30 and 32, and two women, who are 61 and 46. They're being held on suspicion of commissioning, preparing and instigating acts of terrorism.
One person's been killed and more than 30 injured after Russian drones struck a railway station in Ukraine. President Zelensky has described the attack at Shostka in the Sumy region as savage. And in sport and in football, Arsenal will go into the international break as the Premier League leaders. They beat West Ham 2-0. Liverpool are second after losing to Chelsea. Tottenham beat Leeds 2-1 and Man United beat Sunderland 2-0. LBC weather continuing wet and very windy with gales in the far northeast of the UK. Breezy elsewhere overnight with clear spells developing eventually. We'll see a low of around 9 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Clive Bull.
Very good morning to you. I'm Clive Bull and this is LBC. I'm with you through till four here on a Friday, Saturday and Sunday morning. And it is Sunday morning, 3 minutes past one. What are we talking about this morning? Well, quite a lot to squeeze in between now and four. Most importantly, of course, it's you that we would like to feature. You can call in, you can send a message at any point as we go through the morning. Feel free to join in. We're going to talk about the Conservatives. Ahead of the Conservative Party conference, which gets underway later on today, Kemi Badenoch has come out with another idea, another big pledge, which you've probably just heard about in the news, the removals force to detain and deport people, up to 150,000 people a year, modelled on the somewhat controversial currently ICE agency in the US. So I'd like to just explore that and ask whether you think this is a direction that will save the Conservative Party, which seems to be in free fall at the moment. Are they doing the right thing? Are the instincts... Well, clearly, what Kemi Badenoch seems to be doing is taking the issue to reform, taking them head on, as it were. Is that going to work, do you think? We'll talk about that this morning. Also, I'd like to talk a bit about employment rights, workers' rights, zero-hours contracts and the rights to hire and fire people. A think tank has been looking at the ongoing Labour Employment Rights Bill, which is going through Parliament at the moment, and has concluded that it's good news. They say that it would provide more than a million workers with more security, more job security, thanks to this employment rights bill, which will make it harder to fire people. It would outlaw zero-hour contracts. But we're going to look at it in a bit more detail. I'd like to know from you whether you think it has the balance of power gone too far in favour of the employers and away from the workers, or vice versa. Do you think workers in the UK do need more protection? Could these measures backfire? I'd like to talk a bit about that this morning as well, particularly the 0 hours contracts. If you work in on one of those, I'd love to hear from you on that as well, because it's not, I don't think it is quite the binary issue that is made out to be. And other matters to talk about later on, Neighbours, not the TV show. Research suggests 64% of us have had problems with neighbours and 10% have even had to go to the council. So we'll talk about neighbour problems. Do you know your neighbours? And how do you find out, if you are thinking of moving into an area, moving into a street, how do you find out whether you are heading for trouble with nuisance neighbours? So that's a few of the things that we'll be talking about this morning. And as always, you are welcome to comment on any of them. As we go through the morning, feel free. We're very flexible. If you want to pick up on any of these topics, then feel free. Get in touch now. The best thing to do is call, and then we can have a chat. But if you can't call, and some people certainly can't at this time of the morning, then feel free to WhatsApp on the same number, 0345 6060973. You can send a message on WhatsApp. You can also text 84850, or you can shout at your Alexa, send a comment to LBC, and then say your comment, and it will some way or another find its way through to us here in the studio, and we will unravel it. So lots of ways to get in touch, and I will do my best to include all the comments that come in as well. I don't always manage it, but I will try. So call in. I'd like to talk first about the Conservatives, because that's the top story in the bulletins at the moment. This morning, they have just announced another big plan. Kemi Badenoch clearly aiming to take on reform head on. Yesterday, you might remember, it was leaving the ECHR. Today, it's the announcement of a new removals force. Now, first of all, I must say, I'm presuming that is a working title, because it sounds terrible. It sounds like a furniture removals. It doesn't, it's, I don't know, the connotations are a bit odd, but then it will probably, well, it's not going to happen anyway, probably. It depends whether we ever see Kemi Badenoch as Prime Minister and we have a Conservative government. But clearly they've decided this is the direction we want to go on. We want to go on illegal immigration. We want to threaten to deport people. And we want to get out of the ECHR. So, would that work? I mean, this is tough talking. They're describing it as modelled on the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, ICE, in the US, which they say will be given sweeping powers. And, of course, in the US, under Trump, it's been given very radical powers, and possibly sometimes going beyond its legal powers. So she seems to be channeling Trump and reform with this policy. Illegal immigration, of course, is a contentious issue in the UK. So does it make sense to go head on that? My query on this is, politically,